Hi, this is Rick Emerson, and the following encore of The Rick Emerson Show is brought to you by Squires Electric. Whether it's electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, or wiring of any kind at all in your home or business, Squires Electric can make your life easier. Find out more at squireselectric.com or call 503-252-1609. Squires Electric.
The following is a production of the Emerson News Network.
Hello, Don Taylor.
Hiya.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm actually quite well today.
Are you?
I am.
Any particular reason?
Things are not as stressful and as, rough for the edges as they've been for a while. Okay. Why do you ask?
No, I was just curious. Didn't know if there was perhaps some particular reason for your good cheer and jocular mood today.
No, just a spring in my step.
Before we do anything else, before we begin the program, I want to hold on. This is a perfect opportunity to use the music bed that Aaron armed us with yesterday, which I believe is... Which I believe is entitled "Beast of the Borderlands." Wait, hold on. Let me check here. Yes, "Beast of the Borderlands" by. All right, there we go. I wanted to begin with. This is totally inappropriate for the bit I was going to start the show with, but it doesn't matter. It's too late. Feel it. Turn back now. Today's show begins with the following email. This is from listener Leo, who listens to the program online in Colorado territory. Subject line: How the Rick Emerson Show and my own immaturity almost screwed me. Over the weekend, he begins, I attended the... Okay, this really is perfect for the opening sentence, but nothing else in the rest of the email. Over the weekend, I attended the funeral of a friend's father, who died gloriously in battle. All was going as well as could be expected at the funeral, when I noticed we were going to have a sing-along to... Amazing Grace... How sweet the sound. As a longtime listener to the Rick Emerson Show, I am very familiar with the Amazing Grace sound clip that occasionally finds its way into the show. It's like you can hear his approaching doom on the horizon. As the congregation stood to sing, I had to bite down on the inside of my cheek to keep from giggling audibly. I was able to keep it together and even contribute to the song until someone from behind me let go with an unexpectedly sour note. At about the same place where the gentleman on your sound clip, which was playing in my head the entire time, breaks it down. Fortunately, I was able to cover up my utterance with a well-timed sob. It was a funeral, after all. And no one, read my wife, was the wiser. So curse you, and thank you, Rick, Show Pony, and Cheryl. Signed, Leo in Colorado. Well, Leo, I don't want you to suffer alone. So just so everybody else can replicate in their own heads the experience which you mightily and manfully endured at this this funeral over the weekend, we now begin today's Rick Emerson radio program with the aforementioned clip of Amazing Grace.
Lord Jesus, in the name of the Lord. Amen. I'm going to sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Amazing Grace. I want people to sing with me too. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Oh, Yahweh, Yahweh,
Amen.
Thank you.
Let a member of the audience suffer alone. Oh, good God Almighty. The very best part is about halfway through that, it was like the mixing board itself just decided that it could no longer convey that sound to the world, and it just dropped out for like 2 seconds.
No!
I was just looking at the screen, and everything was running normally, but the sound just stopped going to the outside. I can't do anymore! Oh, by the way, Cheryl says, not only are you a terrible person for playing this, she says, followed by a smiley face, or I'm sorry, a friendly face, says, you made my cat run away.
Oh.
That's accompanied by someone just saying, please die. Excellent. There you go. Thank you. All right. It is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Thank you for joining us. 503-505-6964. Thank you for joining us on this Tuesday. It is Tuesday, June 7th, 2011. And we are here from high above the milkpacking district in glorious southeast Portland, Oregon, from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Emerson News Network. Thank you for joining us. If you'd like to email us today, you can do that as well. It's 503. I'm sorry, you can email us at rick@rickemerson.com. Or Dawn Taylor at Dawn, D-A-W-N, at rickemerson.com. The text box open on the website. Also, Skype up and running as well, if that is your preferred means of communication. If that's your choice, that's your pleasure. It's Dawn at rickemerson.com, rick@rickemerson.com, or Rick Emerson Show via Skype, or the text box as well. All right. Somebody says that we have ruined one of his speakers, also his sanity. Thank you. By the way, and because we were during the little interstitial segment between Legion of News and the show, we were doing our sort of musical interlude. We were playing a little ditty by Lou Reed, in which he waxes rhapsodic about the joys of an egg cream beverage in Brooklyn. Here's the thing: I've almost telegraphed the joke just by telling you what song we were playing, but this is worth noting for two reasons. One is the comment itself, in which. Here's the thing. Someone has typed something distasteful, and it kind of involves you. Do you want to hear it or not? Well, no, I'm not saying it's rude
it's
or
just,
unflattering.
Oh, well, as long as it won't hurt my feelings,
well,
it could be as distasteful as
I guess it
like.
All depends. It's just sort of icky. You want to hear it?
Sure, why not?
All right. It says, by the way, this is because standing in solidarity, standing firm, standing upright alongside Representative Tony Weiner, I was sort of making the case yesterday that everybody had a tweet pictures of their crotch, and then you started with a picture of your area on Twitter yesterday. So that makes two, by the way.
And I just posted another tweet your meat update.
Why do we have to call it that? Why do we have to say
that? That was your idea.
But I rescinded it. I tried to remove that. I tried. It's like when someone tries to recall an email from you.
It's too late. It's already out there.
Well,
you've already created it and let it go into the universe like a baby bird of inappropriate phraseology.
Well, because we did that, we get this. This message just says, Don's crotch picture gave me an egg cream in my pants. This user's name is Sandy Duncan's Left Eye.
All right.
So there you go. Worth noting on at least two levels.
All right, Ben.
Hey, I got a question for you. Okay. Speaking of letting things go into the world like conversational or communicational baby birds.
All right.
What does it mean when occasionally I'll get an email from somebody and then later I get a message that says, like, you know, Pecos 55 wants to recall this message? What does that mean?
I don't know. I wonder. I don't know.
Has that happened to you?
No.
Because I get that every now and again in my inbox. I'll get the email from somebody, and then I get a follow-up, and it's like 2 or 3 minutes later, and it says, so-and-so, you know, like Slattern 75 wants to recall this email.
Well, I know on Gmail they have that thing that you have like 30 seconds or 60 seconds or something, and there's an unsend button.
That's before it even goes out, though.
Well, no, it's actually after you hit send.
But it hasn't left their servers to the other person.
Right. But that's the thing, is that maybe if you do something like that and it's too late, you know, that sends a thing saying,
Sorry,
they meant not to, like, actually send that to you.
I don't know. I don't think it's been from...
I've never gotten one of those.
I'm not sure that it's from... I should go back and see, actually, who it's from. I don't know that they're from Gmail user, because I don't think Gmail gives you that option. I don't think Gmail... Because it... I don't know, because...
Gmail gives you the unsend option.
But it's not unsend. See, you haven't sent it,
but
thing.
That's what they call it.
But I've already received the email, is the point.
Okay.
Like, with this, I've already received... The original email is already in my box.
I know, I was just opining that perhaps if they hit unsend and it's too late, it's already left the server, then maybe you get something like that.
What does the button in Gmail actually say? I don't think I've ever... I don't even know that I've ever seen that button.
Well, for one thing, you don't use Gmail.
I do. I just don't use it for this show.
Oh.
I mean, I have, like, you know, it's like I've run a lot of my email through there as like a spam filter.
I've never actually used it, but I know it's there somewhere that if you... It's probably in the field.
I don't use Gmail. Yes, I'm looking for it in a non-existent email account that I've never logged into.
Because we have had this conversation before about Gmail. You're like, I don't use Gmail. I don't want Gmail. I use Yahoo. And I'm happy. And like Sarah was saying, use Gmail. And I was saying, use Gmail. And
we've never had that conversation because I've had a Gmail account since they became available.
I am not imagining that you were poo-pooing Gmail.
I've used Gmail since they started. I think you're thinking of another Rick Emerson. The point is...
Anyway, I think it's in the Compose Mail field when you hit Compose Mail and it brings up the thing. And I don't know. The thing is, I have never used it, but I know that it exists. So I'm not sure exactly where the button is.
All right, hold on. Now I gotta log in and actually... Now it's going to bug me. All right, so hold on a second. Gmail.com. All right, so...
I do a thing.
Cheryl says, in Outlook, you can recall a sent message. Except I don't really know what that means, because if I get an email from somebody and then they recall it, does that mean it leaves my inbox? Does that mean it vanishes from my side of things?
I don't know.
Confusing. All right. I am at Gmail and I am composing.
Okay, so I am too, and then
I
I'm
see
doing
no
this.
Button for unsend. Although
Let's
maybe
see, I'm hitting send.
Do I have to send it for the button to appear?
I'm hitting send, and then if I go to more actions, no.
Hold on.
If I go to...
Such idiots. Now we're just composing emails to no one on the air. Yeah, I got nothing.
I have no idea how to do it. I know that you're supposed to be able to, but I have no idea.
Are we sure this is a thing that really exists? It doesn't just theoretically exist like Jesus?
No, I remember when it happened, and I remember when they first installed it, and then a week later or something, after they said you could do this, I sent something I didn't mean to say, and someone told me, you know, they've got this thing that you can, like, unsend. I was like, oh, I
see, now
that.
I wonder if that's, like, a tiered feature somehow that they haven't rolled out for everybody. Because I think, isn't Gmail still in, like, beta or something? Doesn't it still say Gmail beta
so,
on the
yes.
front page? Well, it's like that
so
thing
I'm looking,
on...
I'm looking at this now, and I have no idea how to unsend it.
Here's somebody who apparently... Somebody says, in Gmail, you can cancel an email after you hit send, or you can undo after it shows it's been sent for 30 seconds. I just don't know how to do that, though.
Yeah.
It seems like you'd want that button to be big and red and impossible to miss.
So like, now I just hit delete.
Well, I don't think that's the button.
But
I don't think the delete button
is.
Yeah,
no, I don't know.
All right. Well, never mind. So So now, neither of us know how to use this function that presumably everybody wants to know how to use.
Yeah.
All right. Doesn't it seem like there ought to be just be a big thing that says like, no, scratch that, or you know, no, I regret everything, and
it should be huge and red
and shaped like a stop sign.
Or it should have that thing where you should have that option that you have on almost everything else, where it can come and say, are you sure you want to do this? And then you can click no, don't give me this notification anymore if you find that annoying. Or you could keep it, and I probably would for all my emails.
It ought to just be shaped like a huge stop sign. There ought to be a huge octagonal or hexagonal or whatever stop signs are that just says, you know, like, no, oh, bad, chose poorly. And that's exactly what it should say, too. It shouldn't even say undo or cancel. It should just say regret in huge letters, you know, do not want. And then it returns.
Apparently, you have to turn on undo send in Gmail under settings. And then there'll be a new undo link on every sent mail confirmation. But you have to actually activate that in your settings before it exists in your email.
Okay. Now, Cheryl is now saying in Outlook, now we're multitasking here with our questions. Cheryl is saying in Outlook, you can recall a sent message. It returns it to the sender. But I wonder if that only means that if both people are using Outlook, it does that. Because that would explain why occasionally I'll get a message. Because I use I use Apple Mail here on my laptop. That's why it never looks like I'm using Gmail, by the way. Because I use the application, the actual program here. But I route a lot of crap through Gmail. Even like my other accounts, even like my Yahoo accounts, they'll get routed through Gmail. So I have like a redundancy just in terms of spam. Because nobody spam filters 100%. Okay, well, we should quit talking about this.
Yeah, we should.
Because now it is like the blind leading the mute in terms of being able to figure anything out. All right, well, there you go. So you have to turn it on in the settings, and then you'll be able to use it. By the way, somebody says, yes, that is real. By the way, tell Don I'm wearing skinny jeans, and he's ready to send you many, many, many pictures of his crotchal region.
Send him away.
That's Jesus in the OC.
ShowPony@RickEmerson.com. ShowPony wants those pictures.
And by the way, here's the thing. ShowPony needs penis, just like Mars needs women.
Exactly.
Here's the other thing. Somebody's saying here, recalling a message is a, quote, feature, end quote, by which, and feature, by the way, is code for thing you don't want and will never use and didn't ask them to give you. Recalling a message, he says, is a feature in Microsoft Outlook. It never works, he notes. I always, just like myself, he says, I always get the message and the recall notice, even if I've never opened the original message. See, that's my thing, too. So I will get an email from somebody, and it'll say, like, Dawn has sent you the following, you know, whatever. Dawn says, hey, by the way, I used to be a man. And then, like, 2 minutes later, I get a message that says, Dawn wishes to recall the message, I used to be a man. But then both messages just stay there. They never, nothing ever gets deleted.
Yeah, that's like when you edit and redo like a comment on Facebook. You can go back and you can like delete a comment on Facebook and then like rewrite it if you've done a typo or you've said something you didn't want to say. But the thing is that if somebody has the notify me when comments are made thing on, they're going to see like the one you didn't want them to see anyway.
All right, so we've got what appears to be a definitive answer here. Somebody says, this sounds like Lotus. This is Seamus. This sounds like a Lotus Notes thing. Back in the day, he said Lotus Notes. What about jazz? Let's talk about jazz. Says back in the day, you could try and recall an email, but it only works if you're recalling it before the sending server has sent it onward and the server supports it, which I don't think anything does. The Gmail thing is just a thing that sticks the email in your outbox for 30 seconds before actually sending it. That was my thing. It's like it's just forcing it to sit in the outbox 30 seconds longer. Okay. Here's the thing about email, he says, once it hits the server, you can never take it back. Period. There are companies that advertise about being able to recall mail after you send it, but that's just BS. Recalling a message cannot work. Which that would have been my guess as well. He says, how are you going to force my email server to unsend an email that is already received from your server? The only thing I've seen that even approaches that. See, this would be a thing that I'd be interested in finding out about. I've heard the ads where they say, like, you can recall an email after you've sent it, which I know you can't actually do. I would be curious to know, there are these companies that claim to offer services. I mean, not that I even need this, although I can think of certain representatives that might have been able to use this functionality recently, although I guess it doesn't work for Twitter. But there are companies that claim that they send basically an email that self-destructs after a while, where, but it is an email and it has attached to it or embedded in some sort of an application where it erases itself from your machine after like an hour or something. So,
but would it's hard for me to imagine though people would actually be able to receive those emails if they had good virus protection.
Yeah, I don't really know. See, so again, I don't even know if that actually works, but I know that those programs are available, those email programs. All right, so in any event, so somebody says, yes, in most programs you just receive a thing saying somebody wants to recall this, but it doesn't actually get recalled, followed by, nailed it. If you ever need somebody to sub for Dawn, I can make stuff up with the best of them, he says. That is Mr. Jenky.
Mr. Jenky.
All right, Mr. Jenky.
I said that as if I know who that is, but yes, I'm Mr. Jenky.
All right, by the way, Jesus and the OC, we're now waiting on pictures of your area.
That's right.
So just you send away.
By the way, I have Gmail open, and I was going to check to see how the thing, and every time I try clicking on mail settings, and it doesn't go to my settings.
No, of course not.
So, okay, thanks.
Why would you
want
to be able
Gmail.
To do that? No. So. Gmail, I know that this makes me sound like a tool, and here's the thing. It's not like Yahoo's any better. They ain't. I mean,
yeah, I use both now, and I still vastly prefer Gmail.
Well, the thing about, let me just say, lest anybody think less of me because I'm using Yahoo. I use Yahoo because they host all my crap. But when I say I use Yahoo, all I really mean is that, like, they host, like, rickemerson.com, and so they host whatever at rickemerson.com. Like, I don't ever use the Yahoo, like, their web. Like, I don't ever actually go to, like, yahoo.com or mail.yahoo.com for anything. I do everything through the Apple thing, through the Apple interface. I know this makes me sound like a rube when I say this, but it's like, Gmail is confusing to me. Like, Yahoo is just bad, whereas Gmail is just confusing. I go there, and there just seem to be an infinite number of settings. The thing about Gmail is there's lots and lots. It's like the Microsoft syndrome, where there's, like, way more settings for crap than I actually need. Like, I just need something where I press the button and the email goes, and another email comes in, and it's like I don't have to. And if I want to adjust stuff, that they have the good sense to bury it way off the front page where it's not just cluttering up my field of vision.
My big problem with Gmail is mostly probably just a problem with me, in that I've never been able to figure out, and I probably, if I ask the right amount of questions in Google or in the FAQ or something, I could probably figure it out. But I've never been able to figure out how to make it do the one thing I really would like it to do, which is filter my incoming mail from different web accounts into different folders. Because I get mail forwarded to my personal account from two other accounts I use for business purposes, and the thing is, it all just gets dumped into my personal
inbox.
Account.
Yeah.
And then if I respond,
it goes from that email address.
From that email address, and it's like that. I don't, because with when I used to back in the olden times when you had to have an actual email client to download, you know, your email from the server onto your machine and then deal with it. You could do that. You could filter it into different things and then send from your different email addresses.
You can do that now, too.
I can't figure out how to make Google do that, though.
Well, it involves buying a Mac. So, all right. And that, which, by the way, and just not to be that guy, but that is the reason I use the Apple email client as opposed to using, you know, either my Gmail, web-based thing or the Yahoo web-based thing, because no matter what address somebody sends it to, it goes into its discrete and, you know, it's a, what's the word, demarcated folder.
Yeah.
And then when I respond, I hit respond and it doesn't matter. And even if I have subsequently moved the email to a different folder, when I respond, it responds as though it were coming to the address they sent it to.
That is the thing I want my email to.
Yeah. So I'm only saying that because it's true.
I'm sure Thomas Gill or somebody right there or Seamus is going, you can do that on Gmail. What are you, stupid? All you have to do is, and then he's going to list like 20 different steps that, you know, I
like how in your world, though, the first thing I've said is always, are you stupid? Step one, check to see if you're retarded. Step two, say yes.
Well, that is kind of the thing. It's the real world equivalent of, well, did you turn the machine off and then on again?
No, it's true.
Is it plugged in? Are you actually functionally retarded?
Somebody says, am I actually paying for this content? Yes, you are. The world's worst recording of Amazing Grace, followed by a discussion of
15 minutes about email.
Email client protocols. See, now somebody else, well, I mean, look, I guess this is the audience with whom, but this is the show really to discuss this.
Yeah.
So somebody says, this is why I use Thunderbird for all my email. See, I tried to use Thunderbird, which is the Mozilla, that's the email version of Firefox. It's the, you know, Mozilla who makes Firefox, they make Thunderbird, which is their email client. And I found Thunderbird just to be a huge pain in the ass. Maybe I should try it again at this point, but I found Thunderbird to be just tremendously confusing. I mean, because in many ways, I mean, as much as, it's not like I'm a genius, I may be more tech-savvy than the average person, but not the average person probably in this audience. I mean, maybe more than the average Rube in America. But to a large extent, like, I am that guy that just wants to get one thing that I buy or that I download, and it just works, like, forever, and I never have to change it for anything. Which, I guess, is why I almost eventually gave... That probably is one of the reasons I gave up and just got, like, a Mac and then an iPhone. Because then I can just plug it all in and it all just works together, and then I can just go back to just, you know, I can just go back to surfing for porn or whatever, which is really the only thing I want the computer for.
Which actually reminds me of something. I got the PC, and Microsoft has kind of gotten savvy about Word, if they want to keep you using Word.
Which
they do. Is that now with Windows 7, it apparently came already installed with something they call Microsoft Word Starter 2010. Because the thing is, you know, they could make me spend $60 to buy a full version of Word, which I won't. What? Because I would, most people, I think, like me, would be more likely to go find something cheap or free that would do the same thing.
Or just get Office 2002.
Yeah. Or they could give me Microsoft Word Starter 2010, which is free and just doesn't have all of the stuff that the full version of Word has, which most people don't use anyway.
Is it like WordPad?
No, it's Word. It's just Word Basic. It's just your, you know, your basic formatting, your basic... But, I mean, you can't make footnotes.
Right.
You know, and you can't collate your pages and stuff like that.
Hey, here's a little fun fact for me to you. Even in the full, like, up-to-date licensed version of Word, you can't make footnotes accurately.
No.
I don't know if I told you this story or not. I may or may not have actually told you the story or told the story in the air. I told this story at the book signing, the Zombie Economics signing at Barnes & Noble a couple weeks ago. Because we had Lisa Desjardins, she was on the phone with us. She was piping in from the East Coast, and we were talking about how the difference, you know, the difference in time zones and how difficult it was, you know, and it wasn't like that difficult, but just whatever complications were involved in Lisa and I, you know, working on the book, even though like Lisa's 3 hours ahead and like Todd and I are on this end, and you know, it's all very weird, and there was this whole Lady Hawk thing, and anyway, But I was talking about, you know, there were these all-night sessions that we pulled as we got close to have each draft of the book done. Because, like, they would say, like, Penguin would say, like, well, look, well, we need, like, a draft of the book, like, on June 2nd, like, no ifs, ands, or buts. Like, you gotta get it in. So Cheryl and I had a couple of these marathon, like, editing and, like, collating. Is collating when you're putting everything together?
Yes.
Well, whatever. But yeah, we were merging all the chapters. So Cheryl and I had a couple of these, like, all-night sessions where we'd be up for, like, 36 or 48 hours just getting the book done. And the one that stands out of my memory, I mean, the one that I think, if we were ever going to have a nervous breakdown, if there was ever going to be a point at which our minds just snapped, this was going to be the moment. Because we're both using Microsoft Word. And I mean, and the book, and Zombie Economics is full of footnotes. And we try to make them, you know, sort of funny and compelling and sort of, you know, interesting and whatever. But the book is full of footnotes. And so, like, the manuscript had to have all the footnotes, and they had to be in the proper place, and they had to be sort of, you know, separated out from definitions and whatever. And so, anyway, so Cheryl and I are, like, reaching, I don't know, like, we've been up for, like, 29 or 32 hours or something, and we're getting ready to merge all, I think, 13 chapters of the book together into one document. And then as soon as it's one document, we're going to save it as a Word document because they can't accept a PDF for whatever goddamn reason. So it's like it has to be a Word, and it can't be in Micro. It can't be like an Apple Pages. Like, it's got to be in Microsoft Word. So we're getting ready to merge all, count them. I think the book itself is 304 pages. I think as a Word document, it was like 450 pages. So we're getting ready to merge all 450 pages of the Word document. And as soon as it's done, as soon as it merges, we're going to be able to hit save and then send it and be done. Like, it's just like capturing it and then it's like capturing a sweet butterfly and then putting it under glass and then hanging it in the Louvre, like, forever. And so that's all we had to do, was just get the thing merged and saved and sent. And so we merge it all together. And again, there's two types of footnotes. There's definitions and then there's actual footnotes, and they all have their own little symbols and whatever. We merge them all together. Cheryl, and Cheryl and I are on the phone or whatever. She merges them all. She hits save on Microsoft Word. And then there's just this long pause. I guess we were on Skype. And there's this long pause where she doesn't type anything. And finally, I just typed, "You there?" Because nothing had happened. And she just said, "Microsoft Word just turned every one of the footnote symbols into a thumbs down."
Oh, God.
Why would there even be, first of all, a thumbs down icon? Why would that even exist? Like, what was...
Well, because it's Microsoft. That's why. That just tells you right there.
So, you know, we had two. We had little asterisks, and then we had the little crosses that you use sometimes. Doesn't matter whether it was an asterisk or a cross. Microsoft Word, at the last moment, took every one of our 450 pages and turned all the footnote icons into a thumbs down. And I think that was the point at which we just decided to walk away for like 5 or 6 hours and come back and try to deal with it later. So, and that, by the way, those were the fully unlocked and, you know, licensed, legitimate versions of Microsoft Word. So it's not like you're really missing out on any golden opportunities by not having that.
No, but there is that whole thing with like the one another advantage to having an Apple, a Mac instead of a PC as well, is that your specialty software for a lot of things like writing, like novel writing software, script writing software. There's a software called Scrivener that is only available for Apple that is just excellent for writing and organizing and stuff, particularly if you're writing a screenplay or a novel or something. And there's like nothing nearly as good as that for the PC.
No, the only thing they have for the PC is they have like Final Draft.
That's purely for screenwriting. I actually have an old copy of that. That's for screenwriting.
All right, let's see here. She's just saying WordPad makes my soul cry. All right. Three different people here have been saying use OpenOffice, which is that OpenOffice is not bad at all. OpenOffice is the free sort of open source version of Microsoft Office, which I think is jointly made by Sun Microsystems and the community, which is like the people.
OpenOffice is actually quite good.
I think the only reason we didn't do that is because for Cheryl it would have taken like 9 years or something to download it, and we wanted to be able to be directly compatible, which we ended up not being anyway, even though we were both using Microsoft Word. Here, the bottom line is Microsoft Word, it both sucks and blows. It's just one of the worst things that's ever existed.
Well, I started using OpenOffice a number of years ago when I was working in a newspaper because I would get people would send press releases and various attachments and things all the time to me at the newspaper as Word documents. And funny thing, as you and I have discovered just going from back and forth from Mac to PC, but even just PC to PC, different versions of Word are not compatible with each other.
No, of course not. No. Especially because now they do that thing of putting crap in that .docx format. Yeah. Which, by the way, before somebody says it, lest anybody think that I'm just being an Apple fanboy, which I'm not, my wife has a newer MacBook than I do, and she was saving something the other day, some project of ours, but she was saving something the other day and then sent it to me, and I couldn't, even though we both run this program called Pages, which is like Apple's Microsoft Word, I couldn't open it because nothing written prior to Pages 09 is actually compatible with Pages 09 or forward. So she wrote something and saved it in Pages 09. I tried to open it. Sorry, you must upgrade to Pages. And upgrade, by the way, is code for buy. So
I heard this really interesting radio piece many months ago about the Library of Congress. And there's this whole section of the Library of Congress because where they archive all of the files left. Lots of stuff is donated to them by authors and by writers. And it used to be, you know, back when they first started doing this, when they would get all of a dead guy's, you know, archived stuff that his family had out of his basement, it was all written material. And now it's more and more, it's computer stuff.
Right.
But because computer stuff becomes obsolete so quickly, to be able to read the different sizes of floppy disks and the different formats, they have to have basically a working version of every kind of computer.
Wow.
Since the 1980s, and all of the software to be able to like read the documents and print them out.
Huh.
And so they have like apparently this entire sub-basement area in the Library of Congress that is overseen by a couple of guys whose entire job is to make sure they have every possible configuration of word processing software on every kind of computer you know, from since like the mid-80s so that they can read this.
Jesus. Well, you know, there is this... That had never even occurred to me that if some guy dies, you know, Kurt Vonnegut dies in the Rutenrun in his place, and everything's on these big, massive
5-inch floppies.
Floppies, yeah, from like 1984, and they're having to figure out that, you know, I guess I had never really thought about that because, like, Stephen King for the longest time wrote everything on like a Wang word processor, which I'm assuming puts everything on 5-inch floppies, but it's like I don't even know. It never occurred to me that they would have to be able to read those formats, which is really bizarre. So they now have actually, you know what? But at the other end of the, and I don't care. Maybe people don't find this interesting, but I do, and so that's sort of what matters. It is at the other end of the spectrum. Amazing what you can do with just moderately priced software. Now they have this software you can buy called. The hell is it called? It's called OmniPage or something, and it's by the same people that make Dragon Dictate, and it's where you can take a PDF or in many cases, I swear to you, like a handwritten document, and scan it, and then it will not only convert it into into text, but it will do it into the file format of your choice. You're like, here's some handwritten notes from Kurt Vonnegut. I need these in Corel form, please. And it will just, and immediately just do it.
I first saw something like that, honestly, at Macworld, a good, I think, probably almost 20 years ago. And I was at Macworld, and it was the first time I ever saw character recognition software demonstrated.
Right.
And it was like magic, where they took a document, they scanned it in, and the computer went, and ding, it's now editable.
Yeah.
And you're like, duh? It was amazing.
No, it really is stunning the number of things that exist literally now, every single day things are coming out that a single one of which would have just blown our minds for all eternity like 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, like this morning, so I'm on my way to, the Beaverton this morning for Outlook Portland, and it was... I swear to you, I don't know what it takes you to get home, like how long it takes you, like in rush hour traffic or whatever. From leaving my house, getting to the Outlook Portland studios, it took me an hour and almost 45 minutes. I mean, it was just unbelievable. But this morning, so I'm just sitting there, and I have my phone with me. And at one point, I just hit that dictate button on the phone, and I said, "Good Christ, traffic is impossible. I'll never be there in time. This is insane." You know, send. And it just went off to, and I looked down, and it just transcribed it all perfectly and sent it off to Cheryl, and that's a thing that's free that I just got, you know, without paying for it.
I have to start. I keep meaning to start accustoming myself to using the voice commands on my phone because. I was showing it to Patrick one day and going, "No, look, all I have to do is I push, hold the button down, and then I could say, iPod, Decemberists, and it would just play it for me." You know, but I don't ever actually do that, so I'm still driving and fumbling with the phone, and the reason is I don't ever use it, so I'm not used to using it, so I need to actually start doing it.
We were talking about this yesterday, the latest upgrade with the Xbox 360 is going to be that you can control it with voice. You can just be, you know, "I wish to kill zombies," and then it will just fire up the game, and then you're going to be good to go. By the way, a couple of notes about the Nintendo Wii, because, of course, the E3 is going on, so let's see. We've got this from... from Seamus. Let's see. Let's see. A little bit of... I was going to get some sort of a geek bed for this, and before we do any news, let me just... we'll just do this here. A little bit of an update from today's E3. This is the Nintendo portion of the presentation. A little real-time blogging by Seamus watching the E3. He says... "Now, 42 minutes into the show, they're still talking about the 3DS almost the entire time. Now they're talking about Pokemon for the 3DS for 5 minutes. Because nothing says hardcore adult gamer like, you know, Pokemon. And then they revealed the new Nintendo console." Do you know what it's called, Don?
No.
The new... Yes?
I'm sorry. Aaron in the OC sent me...
Is it a picture of his schlong?
It is.
Is it huge?
It looks.
Is it covered or uncovered?
It's covered. He's wearing his Metallica boxers.
All right, let me
see.
But
he's holding it so that it's outlined and you can actually...
Wait, do I want to... Wow. That's a picture of a schlong right there.
It is. That's impressive, though. I mean,
it really is.
You know,
and it appears to be flaccid.
It does. So, you know.
Good for you, sir. Well done.
Congratulations. I wish that his underwear wasn't pink, though, because that just...
No, it's part of his feminine nature. It's the duality of character.
Yeah, but the fact that it's that and it's pink because of the... Anyway.
So the new Nintendo console is called the Wii U.
No.
And Seamus just typed, "Wow, stupid."
Oh, he actually said, I'm sorry, Aaron, actually, I'm a touch camera shy, so not exactly at full staff here.
Yeah, you don't have to justify it,
Thank you, sir.
So apparently the new Nintendo controller has a big screen on it. So the actual controller for the Wii U, this is why you care about that. So the new Nintendo, the Wii U, the controller, which is huge, which is massive, it's gigantic, has a big screen on it. It looks like a fat white iPhone with a Nintendo control on it. So there's a guy playing Mario on TV. The roommate comes in and says, "Time for baseball." So he presses a button, and the television instantly changes to baseball, but the Mario game he was playing instantly continues on the screen on the controller. So you can switch the game from being played on your television to being played on the actual controller, which means if you were playing something on your television, you could actually leave the room and carry it into another room and continue the game just with the screen on the controller. The screen on the controller is 6 inches, so the actual controller is bigger than a Kindle.
I'm looking at a picture of it right now, so...
Yeah, the actual controller is bigger than a Kindle. Wow. All right, so there you go. So there's that. All right, fantastic. All right, do I have anything else I have to read? So let's see. We've got... one more here.
Okay.
I know it sounds like...
By the way, I realize that I should not have encouraged listeners to send me pictures of their, wangs, whether in their underwear or out of their underwear.
Why not?
Yeah. But... I don't know.
I mean, it is a little ironic considering that you were the one claiming that nobody would possibly want that, and you could understand why somebody would encourage the sending of penis pictures.
And then I did.
And then you did. So now, I mean, they can always go, well, that one day, mm-hmm. or you will now be the example when other women say, nobody wants to see your picture of a penis, and they say, well, there's this woman, Show Pony, in Portland, loves pictures of wangs, can't get enough.
I'm complicated. What can I say?
It's true. I know there sounds like it's like all Seamus all the time lately, but that's kind of because it is, because he's responsible for like the bulk of our, almost all of our E3 content. And then also he sent this
he's
final
our E3
note.
He's an E3 correspondent.
He really is. Also, I made that observation at the top of the show about somebody, blah, 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 Don Taylor, blah, 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 egg cream in my pants. So I played the Lou Reed song Egg Cream during the break at about 1:15 or so. Final note here, then we'll talk about stuff from last night and news and... And we've got a musical request that we'll get to. Seamus says, dude, I ordered a case of You Bet brand chocolate syrup from Amazon so I can make an egg cream as per the instructions in Lou Reed's song. Nerd. Apparently, You Bet is the only acceptable chocolate ingredient for real New York-style egg creams. If I don't like it, I'll just make some for all my neighbors. They're all like 40 to 80 years old anyway. So there you go. Smiley face.
Awesome. Fantastic.
And so there you go. And by the way, if you get that voice recognition software, if you really learn to use it, you like that. If you also, if at any point you ever get it for your laptop, you can actually control your laptop with it as well. You can just say like send an email, and find me more pictures of male members. All right.
And that's not hard to do. Really.
No. Now apparently, by the way, he's wearing not just Metallica boxers, but his Master of Puppets. Album cover boxers.
Oh, good for him.
And it's not pink, it's reddish orange.
Oh, all right.
Also, he is, quote, lolling so hard.
Huh.
All right, glad we can help, sir. Okay, there we go. And,
I guess that's really the point of sending someone a picture of your boxer.
To make them loll? Probably not.
To make yourself loll.
No,
really?
It's for your,
it's for your lolling.
Very rarely does Lollage. Does it turn out that is as entertaining or compelling to them as it is to you?
Self-lullification.
Yeah, I mean, really, that's... so forth. This is where we normally talk about what we did last night, blah, 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 blah. Except I'm not really... I don't know that I actually did anything last night as such. I don't even remember what last night was. Monday?
Yes.
My whole Monday used to be just centered around house, and now that's gone. So now I've got nothing. I don't even... I don't know what I did. I don't know who I did it with. I don't know where I did it. I could have just sat at home the entire time staring at a blank wall. The only thing I will tell you is this. The only thing I know... Lara and I got caught up in The Killing last night. But it's episodes you've already watched. So it's like, that I've already watched. So it's like, she's getting caught up in The Killing. So I did not watch Farscape. I got caught up in The Killing. And then I think I went to sleep. But I will say that for people who have asked about this, the anti-barking collar that we got for Philo... Man, that's like the best $35 I've spent in a long time. That thing completely works. And it works, and it doesn't do the citronella spray. It doesn't do the shocking. It just sort of buzzes. It just vibrates.
And it's not, like, terrifying him unduly?
Well, he's going to be terrified unduly of, like, everything in the world anyway. And that's why he's barking, is because he's terrified of something. So it's like, if I can take loud terrified or quiet terrified, I'm going to go with quiet.
Okay.
I mean, it doesn't really matter to me because it's like it's not like he's going to be a calm, happy, sedate dog like anyway. I don't think it terrifies him.
No, but I mean, it could be one of the could have been one of those things where he barked for the first time and then his collar buzzed and he went, ah, and he just ran in circles around the house for 15 minutes.
He didn't run in circles, but I will tell you, the first time we let him out, and it was sort of a countdown to see when it worked, because the thing is you strap it on and it's just got like a little, it's got like a little thing that's about the size of a matchbox car on the collar, and you just, you don't cinch it up, but you make it just, you know, kind of tight enough that like you would a normal collar, so it's when it sort of buzzes, he can feel it. And the deal is if he barks more than twice in 3 seconds, and it doesn't work with whining or, you know, whatever. You know, and it doesn't work with single barks because that's how a lot of dogs tell you they got to go outside. Like Max does a single bark at the door and Philo does a single bark. So it doesn't work with single barks. More than twice in 3 seconds and it goes like... Brr. And the first time we let him out and a jogger came by the house and he just, you know, started cowering and shrinking up and barking at the jogger. And then you could... He went... Row, row. And it just like was immediately... And then the first time he like ran in the house and like... Like, went up on the couch and, like, huddled there, like, with his eyes all agog. Like, he couldn't quite figure out what was going on. Since then, though, he's done it a couple times. He barks twice, and then he stops, and he continues whatever he was doing outside. Continues his business or just sniffing around, but without the barking. Now, ideally, we'll be able to take it off him at some point, and, like, the lesson will remain ingrained. And he will continue to, you know, maybe bark once or twice and then stop, or he'll stop altogether. But even if we have to keep putting batteries in that thing every you know, month or every couple of months, it's completely worth it. Because since we put that thing on, again, this is not like a paid plug or whatever. Since we put that thing on, he has not barked more than twice at anything or anybody that has come by the house or bothered him. So I'm telling you, man, I don't even remember the brand, but I got it at, I think I ordered it from Petco. So I give that a wholehearted endorsement. That's what I do, Dawn.
Maybe I'll give that a try at some point. Bella is not an excessively barky dog, but what we're moving, and she'll be in a new place.
Oh,
and,
yeah, that's not going to work. Might, wait, know. Where are you moving to?
Hopefully I will know for sure tomorrow once I actually get the money in the guy's hand and that the hands have been shaken.
This is another theoretical move?
Not so far. It's you know, we're in contact. We've been talking. He likes us. We're supposed to talk to him tomorrow. But, you know, I'm so freaking paranoid about everything. I just kind of feel like until such time as papers have been signed, anything could go wrong. Unless something goes terribly wrong, we're moving to the vicinity of Taylor's Ferry and Barber, kind of almost Multnomah Village, that kind of area.
All right,
area
okay,
over there.
Yeah. By Fat City Grill or whatever,
yeah,
Fat City Smokehouse?
It's actually about 3 blocks from the original Pancake House.
Okay, yeah, another place. Excellent. And so when will that be happening?
Soon.
Is this another second floor place into which you'll be obliged to carry all your stuff?
Yeah, but it's not going to be that bad because it's a house. And so it's kind of like, yes, there's some stairs, but it's like, it's, you know, normal stairs. It's not like apartment complex stairs or anything.
Excellent.
So, yeah, no, and it should be swell. And it has like a little yard, which we haven't had because we've been in an apartment. So there's a little yard for the dog to
Are
go
you
going
to have to do yard work?
That I don't know. That's something we'll discuss tomorrow, I think, is I'll find out if he's got like a gardener or if we're going to have to mow things.
Yeah, no, you don't want to have to do that. No, that's a thing you got to work on in advance.
Yeah.
All right. Because if you're going to be splitting it with somebody else, that may be... And here's the thing.
Well, then there's a downstairs guy, too, and so maybe we could split something if it's up to...
See, if I was that guy, what I'd be doing is I would say, no. If I were him, I would say, because you might not know better, I would say, no, it's understood that whoever lives on the top floor has to do all the gardening. That's the way it's always been.
Well, and I can see that being likely too, because the thing is, it's a house that's been retrofitted to be like 2 units, and it's on a hill. So actually, the upstairs is the house proper with the backyard and the front yard. You walk up the steps to get to the front yard, and then the bottom step is underneath. And so we have direct access to the backyard, but he doesn't. The downstairs guy. So it's really kind of it's our thing.
It's your bailiwick. All right. Let's see. And finally, let's see, we've got this. Somebody says, okay, now here's what I've been sent. Hey, click this link. Watch a cute girl using a shocking bark collar on herself. I'm going to file that away for later. Apparently, there are dozens of videos on YouTube of human beings, it says, wearing dog bark shock collars and trying to shock themselves by barking.
Okay, sure.
I don't know if they're all hot chicks, but I mean, it's, you know, that's worth watching, you know, regardless, I think.
Go to hotchicksbarking.com.
Seriously.
There's a whole subsection there.
That is, no, that is completely hot. All right, I'm filing that away.
You've got your hot girls barking fetishists.
Yeah.
And then you have your subset of hot girls barking and being shocked by callers fetish. They're a very specific, more specific fetish.
Here's the thing, and Lara's working till midnight tonight, so.
You got hot girls barking and then somebody spraying them with a water bottle to get them to stop.
Yeah. Let's see. The absolute final note about word processing. Somebody says, by the way, MS Office offers backward and forward compatibility. Also, strangely enough, they still make Word Perfect. That's a lie. They don't still make Word Perfect. Really? Word Perfect?
I really, you know, I had an argument with a friend of mine who works in a law office once about Word versus Word Perfect because I really liked Word Perfect. But the thing is, I was a writer, and I didn't need to do a whole lot of footnotes and subsections and IBIDs and things like that. She worked in a law office, and so she needed to have all of those specialty things that Word does. And Word just has way more things than I need. So I was just kind of like, Word Perfect's great. She's like, Word Perfect sucks. I was like, well.
Was Word Perfect the one that was... Is Word Perfect the one that was based in, not that anybody in this even knows this, there was one that was based in Utah. It was either Word Perfect or it might have been like WordStar or something. All
Word
I know.
Perfect, I know I started using Word Perfect when I was on the Mac. And so I had used Word Perfect for years.
I think Word Perfect was based in Provo. And the reason I know that is because Lara once went out on a date with the guy, like the son of the founder of Word Perfect, which is a thing she occasionally brings up every now and again. She's like, you know, I could have dated that guy. I could have gone with, you know, I could have married Mr. My Dad Founded Word Perfect. But no, I picked you.
It was designed by a graduate student at BYU.
Yeah. So there you go. So every now and again, that guy gets rolled out, you know, by comparison, just to me. All right. It is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Thank you for joining us. It's 503-505-6964, 503-505-6964. If you'd like to join us, you can also text if you like on the website, or you can get it via Skype if you like. That is Rick Emerson Show via Skype. It's Rick Emerson Show via Skype. There was something else I was going to do here, but now I can't think of what it is. It's all gone.
You were going to compliment me on my lovely new hairstyle?
Well, I didn't see it this morning. Not that I wasn't paying attention, but when I walked in this morning, I saw you, but then I walked right by because I went into the bathroom to change because I was still wearing my garb from OP. So I wanted to change in my street clothes. So and then I didn't notice it until Sarah had already complimented, and then I felt like I was just going to be trying to play catch up. So you have a haircut.
Yeah.
It's shorter than it was.
It's considerably shorter than it was because. It's exactly the haircut I wanted, only about 4 inches shorter than I intended.
I've gotten that haircut.
Yeah. So, and I decided later that to be charitable and decided it's because my hairstylist is Asian and they like people, they think round faces are cute. So I decided that she decided to make my face look even rounder and pudgier than it normally looks would be adorable.
Okay. So, this is your speculation. You're just trying to get inside the mind of the Asian haircutters.
Of why she would think that a round-faced fat girl would optimally look her best with hair that ended right at her jawline.
Now you look like Choco Cat. You adorable. Oh, boy, I want to go out with you.
Exactly.
Okay. That's exactly what your haircutting person sounds like, I'm sure.
Actually, she kind of did.
Really? Excellent. Okay.
And then I found out that she's worked at that salon for like 4.5 years, so it's kind of like... Why is your accent still so thick?
Well, Arnold Schwarzenegger still has an accent.
Yeah,
he's been here for like
true.
40 years. All right. Well, I don't know what else we were going to talk about here. I had a whole thing about you going to Sherry's last night. I don't know why that struck me as interesting.
Yeah,
you were saying
it really
you went
wasn't.
To Sherry's with like your mother-in-law or something.
Yeah, my mother-in-law was flying. She lives up in Long Beach, Washington. So whenever she flies out to visit the relatives, she comes down, spends the night in a hotel near the airport, and then flies out the next morning. So we drove out to the Sherry's by the airport and had dinner with her. And the thing is, here's the deal. I've tried in the past to convince my mother-in-law to go to like a real restaurant. We even took her to Huber's one night when she was in town. And the thing is, she likes going to Sherry's.
Well, I mean, here's to be fair. It's not like Sherry's is like the worst place on earth. I mean, I say that, and perhaps I might be viewing things through a nostalgia-tinged filter only because anybody who grew up in a town of a certain size in a certain era and was in a drama club knew that that was really the only place you could go. And, you know, after your big production of, you know, Play On or something, or Box and Cox, that was like the only place you could go to, like, sit and, you know, and wear a beret and be deep. And sit there till 4 in the morning on like a single plate of fries that the whole table was splitting. So I'm just, you know, here's the other thing about Sherry's that I find endearing, that almost without exception, every Sherry's restaurant is based on the same floor plan. That's the other thing about Sherry's, which I think is deliberate. Most Sherry's restaurants, up to and including the ones that are here on the outskirts of Portland, all Sherry's restaurants have the same floor plan. When you walk inside, you walk in the front, and there's the kitchen just off to the left. And when you go off to the right, that's where the smoking section used to be, but it's still where they keep the carafes of coffee. And they've all got that same sort of weird hexagonal layout to them. So there is something to be said for the idea that if you're far away from home, you can go into a Sherry's no matter where it is, and you know, and it's always going to look. Plus, at one point, I don't know if this is still true, Sherry's did have an exceptional variety of pie from which to choose.
They still do have quite the varieties of pies. And yeah, you know, it's kind of a little. It's like incrementally a step up from the Denny's experience. But
Denny's is where we go if Sherry's kicked us out or if they were too busy. That's where we would go, is Denny's.
Yeah, in my town when I grew up, we had Denny's or we had a place called The Kettle, which was you're basically the same kind of thing, only it wasn't a chain restaurant.
Did you guys have a JB's?
No.
Which was Bob's Big Boy, then it became JB's.
No, we had Bob's Big Boy.
All right, yes. Well, we had a Bob's Big Boy, which became a JB's, and the only holdover trait was that they both had a Sunday bar, which is one of the most glorious things ever. So there you go. By the way, and just to prove that this whole conversation about Sherry's was in fact uninteresting, we'll end it with a couponing note. Bruce Ackler says, Sherry's is okay, but it's too expensive unless you have their coupon. They have great coupons. And
okay. I had pot roast. It wasn't bad.
Boy, I was really wrong about that. It was possible to go another layer down in terms of interest. Okay.
Didn't have pie.
It's like 2:20. We should actually just do some news here, and then we'll take a break. All right, let's see. Where's my thing? Hold on a second. I don't even know what this bet is. This is a bet that somebody sent me that I transition to occasionally. It's called the Interweb Instrumental. I think it's a bunch of meme-y sort of things that were sent around the net circa like 9 years ago that have all been struck together. But that I don't really know that that's the case. I can't do everything with this, much as I would like to. All right, at the news desk, it's there we
go. And now, from the news desk, this is Dawn Taylor.
Two people are dead after a bizarre two-vehicle collision with a bear north of Gatineau in western Quebec. Police say about 10 p.m. Monday night, two young men were heading east along Highway 148 when their Pontiac Sunfire struck a bear. Although the men were uninjured, the impact sent the animal airborne into the opposite lane where an oncoming Nissan Pathfinder slammed into it. The bear crashed through the windshield of the vehicle, killing the 25-year-old Ottawa woman in the driver's seat and the 40-year-old Gatineau man seated behind her. Constable Martin Fornell said, "The bear went through the windshield on the driver's side and went back out the back window. Can you imagine?"
Now, is the bear dead or is the...
Oh, I think the bear is very dead.
Well, I mean, I would imagine, but you can never tell with bears. They seem impervious sometimes.
The front seat passenger in the Sunfire, a 28-year-old Gatineau man, suffered serious but non-life-threatening upper body injuries. The deaths bring the number of road fatalities in the region to 9 this year, although, to be fair, I think only 2 of those are due to a bear collision. The highway was closed overnight as police investigated the crash.
They seem like a hardy animal, though, so it's not like a given that they would. Let me just tell you, though, I had a neighbor once who hit a deer, and that. But you want to talk about a thing that'll just destroy your entire vehicle. I mean, really, it just caved, and he was driving a truck, and it just completely just gnarled the whole front of it. I mean, that's one of those things where, depending on the angle, too, if it goes through the windshield, that'll take your head off, man. So, yeah, you watch out for those things, to whatever extent that's possible.
Well, before we break, let's have our Geek Watch.
Excellent. Yes, because Lord knows what with our discussion of WordPerfect and WordStar and Corel.
And Wii U.
Seriously. Wii, which, again, I'm looking at a little bit of, I just saw just a little bit of a video of this year, but...
by the way, listener Roger writes in to explain the limit of the bark collar is, in about a week, Rick's dog will learn to bark 4 seconds apart.
Yeah, well, apparently the thing with the citronella, one of the reasons I didn't go with that is, A, it would punish everybody like Max and us, and also that the citronella collar is a thing apparently that loses its punch after a while, and they get used to the smell.
Keep mosquitoes away.
The thing, yes, because that's the like circular little spirally candles that they sell for your porch or whatever. The thing about this, though, is it's got an adjustable level, so I'm starting at low. And then I'm going to move it to high if it becomes an issue. And then I might have to take things. The thing is, he's just such a coward, though, that I think it might actually work. I think with another dog, they might eventually adjust to it. But he's just so unbelievably afraid of, like, everything that it might.
Plus, he has a very short attention span. So just startling him like that is going to, like, get him off of it right away.
Siri's, like, brain like a kidney bean. I mean, just, like, you can't even imagine how dense he is. So it's, like, so it's entirely possible that he may be the one dog for whom this works. I will, by the way, post a video later of this, of some of the Wii U stuff where, like, with this massive controller, which is weird.
It looks kind of ungainly.
Well, yeah. I mean, it seems like they're going the opposite way from the way the design is going, where the design is making everything like a lot smaller. But it's like I'm looking at this thing now, and it's like the controller is huge, which seems to be bucking the trend. But on the other hand, it's not like, I mean, you know, not like Nintendo has like 100% success rate, but also they're no dopes. I mean, they know what they're doing for the most part. So the real brilliance here, though, is the idea that if you're playing a video game and then your dad comes in, you know, and demands to watch, you know, I must watch McNeil Lehrer or whatever, and it's like you have to turn it off. That you don't have to freeze the game or pause the game or whatever. Yeah, you can just – he turns it off and immediately the game continues on. So it's basically they're merging like, you know, like a fantastic handheld video game and the controller and just hooking the whole thing to your television, which is sort of great. I don't know if it's a thing I actually want. But, I mean, it is kind of a great idea.
No, I'm going to start saving my pennies, and I'm getting that next generation Xbox. I've already decided. Patrick and I were talking about it. And it's like, you know, if we need a game system, we want a game system. And it's like, honestly, you look at where they're going with the Xbox next, and it's like, okay, that's what we're doing.
Well, the thing with the Xbox is because – and I don't know when that actually rolls out, the service rolls out for Xbox Live TV, because that's going to make Microsoft essentially your DVR and your cable provider. And this also explains – I think I was talking to Greg and Sarah about this yesterday. This explains why – this might be an indication as to why Microsoft bought Skype, because then if Microsoft owns Skype, then they can also become the telephone company, which just makes Microsoft what they have wanted to be all along, which is your sole utility provider. All they actually need to do is figure out a way to provide the actual internet connection to my home as well, and then they will be – then they'll be back to being what they were a few years ago, and what obviously is their goal, which is just to be a massive monopoly. I like the idea that the government—they're like a river. The government diverted from Monopolyville, and that they just circulated around, and then they came out in the same place again.
Well, and in addition to the whole voice command and the DVR and stuff too, like, you know, you stream your Netflix through it, Hulu Plus, if you care about that, they've got that, and they've also just announced that they're going to stream YouTube. YouTube is going to be directly available directly through Xbox as well.
It's just insane. All right, here's your, on that note, here's your Geek Watch score.
This high-speed modem is intolerably slow.
In the Quasar Dilemma, remember you used to...
It's just a television show. That's all, okay?
Right, but because we were wondering if the quantum flux... Now, just listen on
there. There is no quantum flux. There's no auxiliary. There's no goddamn ship. You got it?
Energize.
Here's your Geek Watch.
Japan's Kyoto Seiko University said today that it will launch the country's first doctoral program in manga studies next year. The private university in Western Japan is already known for its manga and anime programs and established a master's degree course in manga last year. Manga comics and graphic novels are often less action-oriented and cuter than their traditional U.S. counterparts. The university says it has received overseas requests for an advanced center for manga research, and that the industry is in transition amid globalization and growth of digital media. The university plans to enroll 4 doctoral students in manga starting next year.
And that's here, or that's...
That's in Kyoto, Japan.
Okay, so that's sort of a prototype for a pro... That obviously is a thing that they will roll out here at some point.
Yeah, but you'll be able to get a PhD in manga studies.
Hey, does somebody have a fanzine called Mongoloid?
It should.
Okay, I'm just saying. And so that is now, or that is rolling into the next year?
In fall. Yeah, starting next year, they're going to have for doctoral candidates.
That's awesome. I really, you know, well, never mind. We're just going to get totally off point if I dwell any more on this. But all right, well, I'll just end this here. Wait, hold on.
Okay.
No, I was just going to go on a whole thing, but it doesn't really matter. I'm just going to.
Isn't that what we're here for?
Just for now, I'm just going to. We'll just let the story speak for itself. There you go. There's that. There's
so, by Grabthar's hammer, by the sons of Warvan, I shall avenge you.
Next.
Ooh, loneliness and cheeseburgers are a dangerous mix.
I will say that comments from the audience include, quote, "This is the dumbest thing I've heard in a long time," end quote, which I think is about the manga story. So when you said it's four people?
Yeah, there'd be four doctors. Well, you know, PhD programs generally, you know, you only have so many candidates, because with a PhD program, you're basically working on your own. You're doing your research. You're writing your stuff. You have an advisor, a faculty advisor,
right,
that you check in with. So, yeah, apparently there will be four of them starting next year.
All right. Okay. I mean, that is one of those things that will start somewhere, you know, like that'll start in Asia and then it'll eventually roll over here, because they have.
Yeah. Well, and they also, Kyoto University also has like manga and anime programs so that you can actually study that as a field of study. And they already have a master's degree course that they started last year.
I mean, what is it you're going to do with that degree, do you suppose? That is one of those degrees that exists only to teach other people in the future who will get that degree.
That's true, but what do you do with, you know, a philosophy degree or a women's studies degree?
I mean, collect unemployment.
Yeah, see.
Yeah. All right, there you go. Let's do like one
medieval
more.
Medieval literature. And, you know. Okay.
We'll take a break after this.
A traveling evangelist who is sometimes aligned with Westboro Baptist Church has been jailed in Tennessee on charges of assaulting a police officer and resisting arrest. Nashville Police Sergeant Robert Hout said that 48-year-old Glynis Bethel, who is associated with the 21st Century House of God in Locksley, Alabama, pepper sprayed him in the face as he tried to stop her from leaving a scene Saturday. Police investigated a disorderly conduct call, and they said that Bethel also sprayed a woman without provocation in downtown Nashville. Bethel is charged with assault and remained in jail Sunday on $10,000 bond. She has supported Westboro Baptist Church, which protests military funerals with members toting anti-gay signs.
Fantastic. There you go. It is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Still to come, we have your Taser Watch on the way today and so forth. Let's see. Listener Nick says, and by the way, points for doing this is all one word. How's about? He says, how's about a little Avett Brothers into Ooh. The next break? Thanks, yo. No. Thank you, sir. Thank you. It is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. We will do that right now, and then we'll be back with more. Stay right there. It's the Emerson News Network. Go nowhere.
You're listening to the Emerson News Network.
Mama.
You're listening to the Emerson News Network. You're listening to the Emerson News Network.
Emerson Radio Program. Thank you for joining us. 503-505-6964. Join us tomorrow when our guests will include Ms. Anna Griffin from the Oregonian and Neiman Fellow, who will be here for, I think, in Portland for another couple weeks. So we'll be in tomorrow. We'll also be joined by our good friend, Mr. Eric D. Snyder. We'll be sitting in on Legion of News and on this very fine radio program for Ms. Dawn Taylor, who apparently relates, of all the Sanrio characters, most to Bots Maru, who is an angry penguin with a pet alligator. Just FYI. So not Choco Cat.
No.
All right.
I look more like Choco Cat.
Well, I don't even really know that's true, because first of all, I think Choco Cat is a boy.
Oh.
And
he's dark of skin.
Yes, he's yes, he is. He has what Mormons would call the mark of Cain, Don, because of his betrayal of Christ. So, little known fact about Choco Cat: his people betrayed Jesus. They don't like to. They don't put that in the Sanrio marketing. See, but but here's the thing: I'm not even getting that right. I'm mixing my religious curses and slanders. It's not so much that Choco Cat's people betrayed Jesus. It's that, that's Zeppo Cat. It's that, it's that Choco Cat's people, killed Nephi and stole the golden plates.
Oh.
I think Eric would have to tell me for sure. I'll ask him tomorrow. If Choco Cat were Mormon, which, it doesn't matter. Anyway, but also I think he's a boy is more to the point. And he's the only Sanrio character other than Hello Kitty herself that I could actually think of.
Oh.
Hey, have I asked you this before? Now, I mentioned that there ought to be a Hello Jesus sort of a thing, that they, you know, like a satiric line of Sanrio, you know, knockoffs called Hello Jesus, which would sell not only to Jesus people, but also to, you know, to like, you know, to people who wanted to be zany. Now, were you the one that asked about this before? Is there like a knockoff or like, a, you know, like a parody line called Hello Zombie?
I don't know. I know there's Hello Cthulhu.
Hello Cthulhu is funny. Is there sort of a many tentacled kind of?
Yeah.
But there ought to be a Hello Zombie where there's like no mouth. But just, you know, but with like just, you know, just mottled skin and just sort of a grayish tint. But then other than that, actually done as Sanrio characters.
There's Hello Cthulhu.
See, that's great. See, now imagine, now see, again there, again, same sort of, you know, the beady eyes, no mouth, but then just sort of a, like a decomposing skin. And then you market that as a Hello Zombie sort of a thing. Telling you right now, that's if that doesn't exist already, somebody should do that. And I want a percentage of that one, if somebody
actually,
creates
if
that.
Actually, if you Google Hello Zombie, there's some individual art things that some people have done.
See, I want the actual character. Like, somebody should sell that as the actual thing. I don't know how much...
There's Hello Kitty as a zombie.
Yeah, see, and that's okay. But yeah. I'm saying, like, the actual injection-molded plastic figures that you could buy.
Yeah.
Or something that... Okay.
That's
okay. All right.
I need to work on that.
That's something that I was thinking, not Hello Kitty as a zombie, but actual like new characters.
Yeah.
Because then you could do, you know, like whatever, you know, what I don't know how Sanrio names all their stuff, but the Sanrio company is fascinating to me. I know we probably talked about this at some point, but I would like to know the history of the Sanrio company exactly. Like, how, like, did they have a whole bunch of stuff and then Hello Kitty was just like the breakout character and so they retrofitted the whole company around her? I mean, did they sell? I know they have a lot of things now, but like, was she just like one of like a billion things that came out one year and like everybody just latched onto Hello Kitty and they went, aha, let's do more of those?
I think possibly, yes, because...
like how Nintendo was like a playing card company or something and then they just, they went, no, the video games seem to be doing well. Let's do more of that. These are the things I wonder about. Somebody says, a manga degree. Talk about round eye bait. Okay. I don't even know what that means. I have no... I don't even, you know... All right. Somebody says, I love how your idea is actually there on the internet, but you won't accept it until it's executed exactly the way you specified. And then you'll claim that it's stolen. Well, yeah. All right, at the news desk, it's...
And now, from the news desk, this is Dawn Taylor.
Representative F. D. Wiener says he is confident...
It sounded like he said representative of the Wiener.
Representative of the Wiener. Anthony Weiner. He said he's confident that he didn't break any laws or congressional rules while carrying on a half dozen online affairs over the past 3 years. His fellow Democrats don't appear so sure. Nancy Pelosi and a number of other Democratic leaders have already called for an ethics investigation into the matter. With Republicans controlling the lower chamber, it appeared unlikely that Weiner would escape without a little digging by congressional investigators.
Sounds like he was controlling the lower chamber.
Woo!
Or wanted to.
But the calls from Pelosi suggest that Democrats may not be willing to spend too much political capital defending the New York congressman.
Yeah, you think?
One place any ethics investigation may begin, his reported offer of his public relations team to a porn star who he was emailing with.
I didn't know what he was emailing with a porn star.
Yeah, it came out today that Weiner instructed a woman named Ginger Lee to lie about their relationship and even offered the use of an advisor to help her deal with press inquiries. Weiner allegedly wrote to Lee in a June 1st email The key is to have a short, thought-out statement that tackles the top-line questions and then refer people back to it. Have a couple of iterations of, this is a lie, like so many others, or this is a lie, like so many others. I follow Representative Wiener on Twitter. I don't know him and have never met him. He briefly followed me and sent me a DM saying thank you for the follow. Okay, that's
Jesus.
It.
Okay, I'm sorry. Look, I'm not a prude, you understand. But I just Googled Ginger Lee, and it's like the first thing I see is her just being doused like a house fire. I mean, God, all right, this is what I get for searching, for beginning my search at the images tab.
Yeah.
She's not all that.
She's really not.
No, I don't understand. Of all the chicks, the porn stars, I mean, that you could be Googling, why would it be this girl?
Yeah.
You know who this girl appeals to? This is just my gut reaction here. This girl I'm not implying anything here, except all I mean is what I'm saying. Just my first blush here, looking at porn star Ginger Lee, this is the kind of girl that appeals to those guys who wish that they could see 16-year-old chicks with their tops off, but know that that's illegal.
Yeah.
And so then they look at this girl instead.
She looks like about half of the trashy girls you see walking around Gresham.
Yeah, I don't see anything particular about her. All right.
No, so anyway, if these emails prove to be authentic, the next question be whether Wiener was offering to put Lee in touch with someone from his congressional staff or a private PR consultant that he would pay for out of his own pocket.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Meanwhile... where did it go? There we go. Clinical psychologist Jeff Gardier says that the real reason behind Wiener's desire to take pictures of his junk and text ladies and such may not be on the surface.
There's got to be a deeper pathology there, whether it's some sort of a depression, whether it's the stress of being the golden boy, whether he's a risk taker and he's getting off on that. It is something that can destroy, and as we see, it may be destroying his career.
I love the idea that a porn star, is talking to you and maybe inquires about seeing your penis, that somehow requires a pathology for you to go, porn star wants to see my penis. Yes. And then you just send it off. I mean, that seems like not everybody might choose to do that, but I think everybody can understand exactly how 1 and 1 equals 2 there.
Although I will say that the fact that he apparently had been carrying on these online texting relationships with 6 different ladies. Just kind of make that it does seem a little obsessive, a little bit like he was devoting an awful lot of his free time to this sort of behavior.
Well, that I think is the one thing that the constituents might have a problem with, that it's like they're giving up their tax dollars to pay the guy's salary and is that he's using it to be sending his penis. By the way, I'm just looking at Ginger Lee's Twitter feed here, and she's a porn star. So this is maybe if you're a porn star, you don't want to use this phrase. This flare has reached critical mass.
Also, if you look her up and you look at images, they have the whole thing where it says related searches. Mm-hmm. And the first term is Ginger Lee facial.
Okay. That's her sister.
I'm assuming that doesn't...
That's her married name.
That doesn't mean she's at the spa getting a pore cleansing treatment. Gardier says Wiener's rising star status may have had something to do with it.
Was it 6?
6.
This is almost like a sexual Russian roulette, okay? You're doing something that is so stupid, it's almost crazy. And so what's going on with him, quite obviously, seems to be a man who has some impulse control issues.
How do people in New York's 9th Congressional District feel about their representative? Well, here's one person on the streets.
Do we have the average citizen?
Does your average congressional citizen?
Fantastic.
Here.
He's a very well-respected politician, especially in this area. And
area.
I'm somewhat taken
What's
aback.
What's going on
by
in the background there?
Thing.
Hold on, hear that one more time. This is awesome.
Like
he's a very well-respected politician, especially in this area, and I'm somewhat taken aback by this whole thing.
Somebody in the background is giving somebody else what for about some sort of service that he apparently didn't receive.
Plus, I believe he has crickets in his pocket.
Let's see. I'm sorry. I should read the entire thing. So this is hilarious. So Ginger Lee's most recent post. This flare-up has reached critical mass, or at least I hope so. I don't have the energy or patience to deal with it getting any worse. I'm assuming she's talking about Anthony Wiener there, but really...
Maybe it could just be she could be having a tough day at the office.
Possible. Okay.
Something her doctor should look at.
I swear to God, right below that, it just says, I'm thinking about elephants. That's a Ginger Lee.
So, Democratic insider James Carville, snakehead, we love him, said Wiener doesn't have a lot of fans in his party.
He's a very...
Oh, I'm sorry, this is 8?
Yes.
Right now, the Democrats are furious at this guy. I mean, you can see what Leader Pelosi is calling for an ethics investigation. He's married to one of the most popular people in the Democratic Party, and people are livid at him.
Yeah, the thing is, like, how would you know if James Carville was dead or if he was just had somehow just been, you know, animatronicized or something? You know, I mean, it's like
he looks like a puppet.
He really does. You know what he looks like? He looks like one of those. I don't know if it was real. I'm assuming it's not. But he looks like one of those like weird, like shrunken heads that like my grandfather showed me when he was like, oh, so a friend of mine got this in the Amazon. And it was like a normal head, but like down at like 1/3 size and just sort of flapped a lot, you know, and it's like, you know, and you could sort of make it talk. That's kind of what James Carville looks like to me, or just a skull wrapped in masking tape of some kind.
Well, our friend Todd the Corpse actually emailed and pointed out that the Daily Show has been interesting this week because, and I've watched some of it, because Jon Stewart and Anthony Weiner are friends.
They were roommates.
Yeah. And so he's kind of had to, you know, be, you know, complete, you know, disclosure about the fact that they're pals, and also decide, you know, are we going to give the same kind of treatment to this guy who's my friend that would do any other public figure who would be in this position? And the answer is, well, yes, that's my job. So kind of got to do it. But also, you know, he's been very open about just sort of the regret with which he does it. Like, really? Because I like this guy.
Right. Well, the thing I saw was there was that photo that came out. It wasn't his junk. It was, by the way, and do we know that he ever actually sent an unclothed, like an actual nude photo? Or was it all just like bulgy?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't think it, yeah. I mean, but there's another picture of him, like it's like a chest shot. It was like, look at my pectorals.
Yeah, I think that's the one that Breitbart was talking about.
And Stewart's response was just like, I can't believe we're the same age. Look at this guy. What kind of gym do they have there? I mean, because he was really, the guy's like ripped. I mean, he was in very, very good shape. It was very impressive. And Stewart was just going on about how spindly he himself is. And yet they were roommates. Although, by the way, just like FYI, let it be known that Rick Emerson has no such policy about, you know, would you treat your friends differently? Absolutely. I guess people can say, you know, great for you, Jon Stewart, for doing this. But I mean, if I were Jon Stewart, I would feel no compulsion to treat my friends the same as I treat, you know, like other politicians or anybody. Because as he always points out, he's not a newscaster. So, I mean, Jon Stewart, and I don't say this in a snarky way. I'm saying this because it's the truth. The Daily Show is a sketch comedy show. I mean, Jon Stewart is a sketch comic. So the idea that a sketch comic is somehow required to make fun of his friends as he would anybody else is just wrong. And that's the problem with Jon Stewart, is when he says stuff like that, that then undermines his claim when he goes on other television shows and says, well, we shouldn't look at us for anything. We're just comedy. We're not news.
And that is kind of a cop-out because they really are more news commentary than they are comedy
at
this point.
I mean, I love Jon Stewart. I really do. But it's like, it seems like he should pick one side of the aisle or the other. They're either a news commentary show or they're just comedy.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like you can't be both. And I would say that he is a comedy show that happens to deal with political satire.
I would say they're actually more political satire at this point because I think they understand and they take seriously the idea that so many people get their actual news information from them at this point.
I don't disagree with that. Again, it doesn't matter to me. I'm just saying it seems like it's a bad idea for him to do stuff like this because then it makes it just undercuts his claim, which he says every time he's on with like Bill O'Reilly or something. He claims, well, we're just jokes. And it's like,
And
you know, and if he's just jokes, then he shouldn't have to like feel compelled to make fun of his old roommate just because. Now, you can argue he probably had to do it. He's being a little disingenuous there as well, because when Stewart says, well, you know, we can't be hypocrites. We have to make fun of Anthony Weiner because otherwise we would be all that we ridicule. You know, we'd be all that we despise. He really is doing it because it's the biggest story and because he's in New York, which is one of his biggest markets. And he has to do it because it's an entertaining thing that'll get him ratings.
Yeah, they can't ignore it.
Yeah. So, you know, anyway, but, you know, but whatever. I will point out that, by the way, the Daily Show's ratings are now higher than all of Fox News. So just suck that. All right. Is that the end of the Weiner stuff?
Yes, it
is. That's too bad. Yeah. I'm going to miss that guy whenever it is he goes. Drudge had the greatest picture of him yesterday where it looked like, I don't know how to put this. I hate to put it this way because it just it's unnecessarily crude, but it's the only way I can describe it. The picture that Drudge had of Anthony Weiner on his splash page yesterday, It was just a facial shot. It was just a shot of just him from like the neck to the top of his head. And I swear to God, it's like he was on the toilet just trying to push out like a baseball or something. It was just, or like he was trying to weight, like, or like he was trying to deadlift like 1,000 pounds in the Olympics. It was like he was kind of like a kind of a thing. And like, I don't know what he was doing at the press conference that he would have ever made that face. But that's the still that Drudge used like all day on his side. It was glorious. God. It was just the most awesome thing ever. All right, here's Don Taylor.
An elderly Houston couple reported missing on Sunday were found safe in Florida, officials said.
I'm sorry, they were found
in Florida.
Nah, right.
A spokeswoman with the Harris County Sheriff's Office offered no more information Monday night about how Lorenza Gasca, 73, and her husband Solomon Gasca, 78, were located. Television station KHOU reported today that the couple took a wrong turn in Houston, then drove 524 miles before they were found at a gas station in Pensacola, Florida.
How old are they?
In their 70s.
Okay, but they can't both be like completely dotty at this point. I mean, I guess they could.
Well, Lorenza Gasca has Alzheimer's disease.
Yeah.
Both of them take blood pressure medication.
Okay.
An officer who checked on the couple's license plates discovered that a silver alert had been issued for them. I guess that's when old folks go missing. Police then checked.
Silver alert.
Police then checked the Gascas into a motel, and a daughter was en route to Florida to get them. They went missing about 1 p.m. Sunday in Houston after leaving a family get-together. They were supposed to drive to another relative's home about a mile away, but they never arrived.
Never arrived. Okay. All right. Excellent. And so forth. Do we have a taser? Well, let's do one more, and then we'll do our taser watch.
Okay.
For today.
German Chancellor Angela Merkel is being honored tonight at the White House and praised for her country's friendship with the United States, despite Germany's refusal to support a resolution authorizing airstrikes against Libya. Now that the vote is over, though, Merkel says Germany wants the mission to be a success.
As regards Libya, the United Nations resolution still applies. Gaddafi needs to step down, and he will step down. I'm convinced of that.
Mr. Obama says he still considers Angela Merkel an ally in that operation.
Chancellor Merkel and I share the belief that Gaddafi needs to step down for the sake of his own people.
So this is one of those things where he's choosing to not acknowledge the fact that they told us to pound sand on that.
Yeah.
We said, can you back us up? And they said no. And they went, well, we're just not going to acknowledge it. We're going to move forward as though you said yes.
Okay. And here's your award.
What is her name? Angela Merkel?
Mm-hmm.
All right. But that wasn't her, actually. That was probably a translator.
Probably,
right?
Yes.
Okay. Because I was going to say that she sounds like a
Chancellor
looker.
Merkel, nice.
Well, not, no.
As regards Libya, the United Nations resolution still applies.
The thing about German women is, they're all just sort of vaguely terrifying because they're either like really, really, really sort of like steel-haired and butch, or they all just look like, like what's her name, Ilsa She-Wolf of the SS, where they just, they're sort of like blonde but kind of, kind of pointy, and you get the feeling that they would just like flog you in a heartbeat. Like whether you wanted it or not, like the flogging would in fact happen. All right. Do we have a taser watch here?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Hold on a second. I've managed to misplace something. Oh, by the way, just in case anybody was curious about this, and I know you were. So just like if you were not already under the impression that he's like the greatest guy on the planet and just, and is fundamentally perfect in every way. So so for Christmas, Laura got me a couple of books. One of which was the Patti Smith book, Just Kids, which I just finished, and which again I wholeheartedly endorse and recommend. And the other was the Keith Richards autobiography, Life, which is just a massive tome. I mean, it's huge. And I'm glad that we did this whole gift of the Magi thing for Christmas, where we each got ourselves. And yes, I'm talking about a Christmas gift in June, but we each got ourselves. We each of us got the other a book that like we knew like we that we wanted, but that we never would have paid for ourselves, because buying hardcover books just chokes me. I mean, the cost of the Keith Richards thing is like $31.
Yeah.
I mean, even if it was on sale for half that, I mean, it's just unbelievable. And she wanted the whatever the final girl who whatever the thing book, the girl who kicked the hornet's nest or whatever, like that was, but she was waiting. She's like, I'm not going to buy it in hardcover. And so I got her that in hardcover, and she got me the Keith Richards thing in hardcover, and we're adorable and whatever. So she got me the Keith book, but it's huge. And so it's like, I'm reading it at home, and I'm doing the same thing I did with the Bill Bryson. I'm reading it at home, and then I'm also like listening to the audiobook of it, because Audible has this thing where like, if you join, even if you cancel, you get like a free audiobook. So I sign up for Audible got the Keith Richards book unabridged free and then like immediately canceled with it so I wouldn't, you know, because I was waiting. I knew Audible had this deal where you could get a free audiobook and then you could cancel and not to pay for it. I was waiting to see what I was going to use that for. So I used it for the Keith Richards book. So I am now reading it at home, but then when I'm in my car, I listen to the, and it's unabridged. It's like, I swear to you, it's like 12 CDs. It's something like, I figured out that it was something like that. It was like 150 hours or something. It's just insane. But it's
and is he reading it himself?
No. This goes back to my whole. In case you wondered if he was the most perfect man on the earth, the answer is yes. No, of course the Keith Richards autobiography is read by Johnny Depp.
Oh, of course.
So Johnny Depp living like, I mean, it's not like enough that he basically is Keith Richards in the Pirates of the Caribbean movie. Now he just gets to sit there and read to you the whole thing as though he were Keith Richards himself. So then anyway, then the first day I learned, and he doesn't do the Captain Jack Sparrow voice. He has like a whole, because he's, again, you know.
But is he doing a little bit of an accent?
But he's doing that thing that Johnny Depp does because, you know, he's perfect, where he has, it's not quite his own voice. It's not quite an English accent, and it's certainly not the voice that he does for Keith Richards like in the Pirates movies. But it's like he has just a little bit of an accent, but then he has subsections and subsets and variations of that accent for like all of Keith's family. Like he's bothered to create like a different accent for like an uncle that shows up once for like one line. Then there was the day my uncle showed up and said, "Here you go. Here's a kite," and it's like, he's created this whole different accent, like just for that one uncle. And I'm only like three chapters into the book. It's like I can't even imagine. So you know, and he reads the rest of it. Just you know what he sounds like more than he kind of sounds like his doctor, like his Raoul Duke, like his Hunter Thompson. It's a little bit like that voice, which is the closest thing I think I've heard Depp do to his own voice, but that's how he reads the book. So it's like a constant reminder that not only is Keith Richards cooler than I am, but like Johnny Depp is, of course, like way cooler than I will ever be. And plus, you know that Richards himself must have signed off on that. I mean, you know, I can't imagine that they would have, you know, imagine that Keith probably had veto power over that. So the idea that Keith Richards himself, like, and I mean, only in Keith Richards' world would this ever work out, you know, that like Keith Richards could basically say, "I want Johnny Depp to play me," even though, you know, Keith Richards.
Read my audiobook.
Yeah.
Yes.
That Keith Richards is like 1,000 years old. And like, by the way, even at the best of times, never looked all that good.
No.
So it's not like it would work for Keith Richards to have Johnny Depp actually ever play him. But he can just be, "Well, I want him to be me for purposes of reading my life story."
And because he's Keith Richards, Johnny Depp says, yes, even though you got to know that, you know, the pay for audiobooks is not that great. I mean,
no.
You, for somebody like Johnny Depp, yes, it's going to be better than it would be for.
But it's not a lot.
No, but it's still not a huge amount of
money. It's not movie making money.
No.
You know, and it's not even like animation money. It is, I mean, it's, yeah.
You know, Johnny Depp's just doing it because, like, cool, I get to be Keith Richards.
Sure. And the thing is, I didn't even read any publicity about that. Like, I hadn't even read. That's how far it falls down the scale of like great things that Johnny Depp or Keith Richards have done. It wasn't even a story. I didn't know it until I started to listen to it. And I heard I think I've actually got just a little bit of it here. Let's see. Do I actually have? No, I think I may have gotten rid of it. But I may actually have it right here. But it's just that thing, you know. It's just like a little extra bonus, you know. It's just another one of those things. Let's see here. Where is the? Is this the plug for your computer?
Yes.
All right. I'll just. This is. I mean, this is really just, you know, just so you can kind of hear what it sounds like. Let's see if I can just.
I used to carry a soldering kit for emergencies, because you'd be sliding this thing up and down, and it was just so breakable. I was always soldering and rewiring behind the amp.
So there you go. That's it. I didn't even know it until I started playing the book, and I was like,
"Which just you? Sounds like Johnny Depp."
It's like, "Are you kidding me?" Crap. So, you know, it's not like I had any illusions that I was ever going to be that cool. But I mean, you know, just spiking the football is what they're doing there.
So, on a completely unrelated note, Peter Carlin writes on Facebook: "The world always seems shinier and more full of promise on Two for Tuesday. Double shots of Led Zepp, Van Halen, and the Eagles? Who'd have thought it could be possible? Christ is king."
Okay. It's the sort of rarefied wit that we will no longer be able to read in the Oregonian.
Right. Maybe he'll be freed up. He can come visit us again.
You know, Cheryl actually suggested that I get in touch with him because I know he's in town this week, and then he's going to be traveling for, you know.
The next super cool person that he's writing a book about?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, other cool things I will never do. He's going to be traveling because he hadn't even started writing the Springsteen book yet. I think he's actually still just traveling doing interviews, interviewing people. And then he's like, and then I think he's trying to do another interview with Springsteen himself, and then he's going to come back here and hunker down somewhere and start writing it. Somebody says, you don't have Carlin on enough. I know. Tell me something I don't know. He's been busy. He's been off busy doing his thing and being that guy.
Yeah.
So, you know, what are you going to do?
He's the closest thing to Johnny Depp we have.
You should be sure to tell him that. If only Johnny Depp kind of looked like he was about 13 all the time. Doesn't Peter Carlin, and don't get me wrong, we love Peter, but didn't he look like he always kind of wanted to tousle his hair a little bit?
A little bit.
He's
yeah.
He has a very youthful, a boyish. That's the look for Peter Carlin. He's a boyish good look.
He's boyish good look, and then he says something really unexpected and inappropriate.
Yeah. You know when he actually.
And you don't expect it to come out of that face.
Let's see if. No, I know for a matter of fact I don't have this. Have I ever played you the.
1 second here. Hold on. And we'll do the taser watch, and then I'll play this thing from. Peter Carlin.
Okay.
I don't know if I've actually ever played you the collection of Peter Carlin's odd sound bites.
No, I don't think you have.
Because you know, as you said, he's sort of given to just every now and again when you're not expecting it, he'll just say something that is like so completely weird, and just like angular in every way that it's like you never would have anticipated it. Before we do that though, let's do. Wait a minute. This.
You got me running.
Is that Bots Maru you're showing me on the screen?
That's a Bots Maru flash drive.
Yeah, no, I could see that's a penguin who looks angry, or at the very least, like a little sort of just like a little displeased, or you know,
there's
just
also
bothered.
A Choco Cat 4 gigabyte flash drive.
The thing about Choco Cat is Choco Cat always just looks. Choco Cat always has that Philo thing of like he just looks like really like unnerved by something.
He just looks sort of startled.
Yeah,
yeah. So a suicidal woman was arrested by Oregon State Police with the assistance of Grant County Sheriff's Office and John Day Police. After her attempt to elude officers Saturday afternoon in John Day, Oregon, the woman had to be tasered to be taken into custody. The woman was treated for self-inflicted wounds at a local hospital. Around 12:15 p.m., OSP Trooper Eric Timko responded with a police officer to a report of a suicidal female cutting herself with a knife at a John Day hardware store. As officers arrived, the despondent 22-year-old woman was leaving in her Suzuki sedan after reportedly being terminated from her job and purchasing a knife with which she intended to injure herself at the store. Timko, followed by a John Day officer, tried to stop the woman, but she drove east on Highway 26 at speeds never exceeding 40 miles per hour. The woman made several U-turns, eventually traveling back into a residential area where a relative unsuccessfully attempted to intervene by passing the trooper and driving in front of the woman's car. Grant County Sheriff Glenn Hammer was off duty at home and overheard the sirens. He got into his marked SUV patrol vehicle to assist, moved into position. Then his vehicle was struck by the woman's car.
This is really complicated.
Before it continued driving through the residential area at slow speed.
So this is.
So she went to a hardware store,
and
bought
trying
a knife,
to pen
cutting,
her in at one point,
cutting herself, got into her car, slowly drove away with everyone chasing her. They were following her. A relative tried to kind of cut her off, and I guess she just kind of.
They tried to box her in at some point, and that didn't really work.
And she hit a cop's car, and then slowly continued to drive away.
Now, did I mishear something? Did she work there?
No, she had lost her job. Apparently, I guess she must have told someone at the hardware store that's why she was cutting herself.
Okay, so she lost her job, but then their first response when she asks to buy a knife is just to say, "Sure, here you go."
Yeah, or they said, "Lady, why are you cutting yourself in the hardware store?" I lost my job.
Right. Okay.
So yes. So she continued. She tried to make another U-turn to get away, where a second cop collided with her car. That pinned her in, and she couldn't go anywhere. As the officers approached her car, she displayed the knife. That's when the deputy deployed the taser.
Awesome.
Allowing them to remove her from the driver's seat as she applied the gas pedal. So she was tasered, but she was still, like, revving the engine.
Well, yeah, because it seems like tasing somebody who's driving is a bad idea, because then if your muscles just seize, you could floor it and just, you know, then you end up in the middle of somebody's living room.
So she was taken to a hospital by ambulance for treatment of minor injuries, most of which were self-inflicted. The end result, the end tally of this 30-mile-per-hour spree was felony attempt to elude in a vehicle, reckless driving, reckless endangering another person, 4 counts, hit and run, menacing, and she was also cited for unlawful possession of less than an ounce of marijuana.
Fantastic. Was there any, did it say if she was stopped, though, when they tased her? Or she was just still rolling along at her 30 miles an hour?
Well, she was pinned in the car at that point. She had hit someone, and then someone else had hit her. So the car couldn't go anywhere.
Okay, all right.
And then they approached the car, and she was like, I've got this knife. Yeah, and they went zap.
All right. Okay. Which is maybe not the thing you want to do necessarily. So she was cutting herself in the store.
Right.
And they said, hey, hold on now. Yeah, you can't do that.
You really can't do that.
Got to take that outside or get a drop cloth or something. All right. Excellent. Fantastic. There's your taser watch.
You got me.
That's wonderful. You're listening to the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Thank you for joining us. Don't forget to join us tomorrow, by the way, Wednesday, when our guest will include Ms. Anna Griffin from The Oregonian. God, everybody's leaving. So we got so Carlin has quit. He quit. Everybody didn't see this. So Carlin quit The Oregonian. Anna Griffin's going to Harvard for a year. I really am just a huge failure. She's going to Harvard for a year. And then, let's see, Ryan White has been on vacation. He will be back. Kelly Clark is, you know, she's gone for the foreseeable future on maternity leave and whatever.
And I have been made a lord and will be leaving to live in a castle.
Really?
No.
Damn it.
No,
that's not true. Okay. But wait, you say that's not true.
No, that's not true.
Okay, excellent. All right, I got to keep you around. It's just you know, some more equivalent comparison to myself.
I was trying to think of something that
I think Kelly is going to be coming by, but it may be after the show tomorrow. And I think you will not be here in any event. So tomorrow we're going to be joined by Mr. Eric D. Snyder from Movie BS with Parent Snyder at Cascadia.fm. He'll be filling in the Legion of News and then this show, and then Don will return on Thursday. So, yeah, you will miss the sight of Kelly Clark and her baby coming by. Well, I'm just, you know, but
That would make two babies in the studio.
Aren't you curious, though, just to...
I'm sure it is adorable. She is a lovely woman. I think I saw a picture of her husband at some point, and he looks like an attractive man.
I don't think I've ever met David is the thing. He's just one of those guys that exists, like, only as, like, a character in stories that she tells. Like, I don't think I've ever actually... As, like, the guy who bought her, like... I forget what sort of spine they have on their dining room table. But on their dining room table, they have, like, the bones of some animal and then, like, a spinal column or something. And it's, like, the centerpiece where they eat. And that's really... That's love. So, you know. Oh, by the way, speaking of that's love, can I just tell you this? I'm not going to do it, but I got Lara to agree to go on the Kiss Cruise.
All right.
No, I'm
what
not.
Do you mean you're not
going to
do it?
Well, because looking at it, it doesn't really seem. Here's the thing, it doesn't. A. It seems like it's not the, even really the money. It's that it really is only like 3 days, and.
But it's 3 days with Kiss.
Yeah, no, I understand that. But
on
also
a boat.
No. Don't get me wrong. Rick Emerson understands all these things. But here's the thing. I got her to agree to it, but it's like the answer is in the question there, or is in the phrase, which is that I got her to agree with it. I think really, honestly, I can't say in with a clear conscience that it's a thing she really wants to do. It's a thing that she would be doing simply and solely, like, for me, which is all well and good, but you know what? Like, that's almost, like, the principle of that is enough, I think, because...
thing is, though, it's only 3 days, and once she's there, she doesn't have to partake of all of the Kiss-related activities. She can tan, and she can swim, and she can read books, and she can, when the thing stops in port, she can go see whatever the thing is in the port. She can do all of the other shipboard activities.
Well, I know.
It'll be awesome.
She pointed out that for the same price, you know, that, like, your typical cruise is, like, 10 days or something. So, you know, that's,
but it doesn't have Kiss on the boat.
I understand, but then it's like a whole day. But it's like a day of traveling there, and it's like a day of traveling back. It's like the actual travel time of getting there would be almost as long as the thing itself.
Yes, but the thing is, though, then for the rest of your life, you can say, "I was on a boat with Kiss.
Well, I suppose. But she did mention that, too. And don't get me wrong. It's not like I really had to... And I didn't have to lean on her all that hard, either. I didn't really have to be like, come on! Like, it wasn't like I twisted her arm just so she could say yes so I could then say no. I mean, I was sort of like giving her the sort of like... It wasn't even half joke. I was giving her this out, never anticipating that she would actually go like, well, if you want to. But finally, we did get to the point where she's like... Well, if it would make you happy. And it's like, then I just feel like a jerk about it because, like, because I said, you know, well, like, this, you know, like, this isn't really what you would do, you know, given your druthers. And she went, well, no, probably not. And so, you know, like, I don't want to be that guy.
But sometimes you get to do something for you.
Well, you know I suppose.
Who? Because you are a huge, huge Kiss fan.
Yeah, but the other thing about it is that, part of me, I think, is also afraid. That if I, well, like, what if I went and it was just lame? What if I went and it's like Gene and Paul were there and they were somehow just jerks? And I'm not saying they would be. But I've said before that I am kind of glad that I have never interviewed either Gene or Paul or met them. Like, I've interviewed Peter Chris and I've met Tommy Thayer a couple times. And that's, like, good enough for me. Because, like, what if I met Paul and he was just, like, you know, like, what if he was just, like a prick? Then it's, like, then I would just, you know, mm-hmm. Then I have to kill yourself. I almost feel like it's a thing. I almost feel like as long... Like,
I can see that.
She's agreed to go. Like, she said, like, if you want to go, honey, we can... If you want to go on the Kiss cruise. And I did set the bar by telling her there was a Skynyrd cruise and then also showing her the Donnie and Marie cruise, which, of course, is much more expensive because it's not subsidized by booze. But I said the... You know, like, she's like, well, if you really want to go, we could go to this. It's like now she sort of agreed to go in theory, so it's kind of perfect. Now, it's like if I go, it can almost never live up to what I want it to be, and it would almost ruin it. I think
now,
by not going.
Now, if it was something like 5 days for the same amount of money, would that?
That, I think, really, honestly, is part of it because it's like, again, you got, like, it's in Florida, I think, is from where it's part. So it's like you got to go from here to Florida, and, I mean, that's a thing you can fly in a day. I mean, you obviously can't drive in a day. You have to fly all the way there, and God knows how much freaking money that would cost. And then you're on the cruise. But the cruise itself is really only 3 days because you depart at night. And I think you come back in the morning, so you can't count either of those really. So you got 3 days, and then you got to fly back here. And again, the plane ride and all that is, you know.
Where does it go from Florida?
It goes to the Cayman Islands.
Okay. So, and this is in September?
It's in October.
October? Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to figure out if you're still in, like, if you're in tornado season at that point.
Well,
or
probably.
Not.
I figure it's always
tornado
season.
So I remember
my
mother went on an season trip somewhere, and one of the reasons it was cheap was because it turned out it was tornado season.
Yeah, I figured that the Caribbean is always just like a death zone, you know, in one way or another. So I think that's the other thing. Is like, you know, it's like $1,000 each for the ticket. And it's not like I'm, again, even opposed to paying for vacation. I mean, that's what, you know, we're big believers in, like, you know, like we are big believers in spending money on things we enjoy, but we're also big believers in sort of like budgeting for it. So I have no issue with that. But it's like $1,000, which would normally get you, a cruise of however long, because in addition to that, as I said, it's the plane, it's the everything, and it's like, it seems like it's going to end up.
And if you did almost anything stateside, that would buy you a lot of vacation.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And plus, you're not, you know, all that really gets you is the ticket, and it gets you, I think, like whatever your basic meals are. But it's like anything we bought, anything else we wanted to buy there, like any, like, God forbid if I actually wanted to buy merch on that boat, God knows. I mean, you're literally, Gene has got you trapped in the middle of the ocean. There's nowhere to go. He could just go, from now on, water will be $8. And it's like, what are you going to do?
And that is one of the things on those boats, too, because I used to write for a travel website, and they would give a lot of advice on how to save money on vacations and stuff. And one of them is that on these cruises, all of your food is included, but you're paying for all of your beverages.
Yeah.
And that includes sodas. And you're paying that premium price for sodas. And what a lot of the cruises do, it's like you pay like an extra $18 or something, and you buy just this giant, like, plastic thing, and you carry it around with you, like, for the entire tour, and then you get unlimited refills on, like, soft drinks. Because if you don't, you're paying like $5 a piece, you know, for a Diet Coke or something. For 5 days. You have no other options.
Well,
you're on a boat.
And plus, you know that Gene gets a slice of all of that. I mean, you know that Kiss, just as they do with everything, you know they must take a slice of the concessions. And, I mean, like, well, I mentioned when I went to see Book of Mormon, that a glass of red wine was $17. I mean, my soda was $12. And I mean, it was like a coffee cup full of soda, maybe. So, I mean, in the middle of, and that's in New York where I could leave and, if I wanted to and get, and there was a drinking fountain.
And the, and but I think the thing, the deciding, I can see not wanting to invest that much money because the idea, on the idea that, yeah, if you end up, if they're having a bad weekend,
yeah.
If it's really humid and they're having a bad time and they're feeling like harassed by the crazy fans yeah. who actually spent the money, and you're there and you're like, you know, even if you, all you want to do is just maybe have one brief, hey, how you doing conversation, and they're bitchy to you.
Yeah.
You've just spent like, you know, $4,000 to like have your dreams crushed.
That's the thing, is like, yeah, you then it's like, yeah, I spent $4,000 to have, you know, to have like my childhood stomped on in front of me, you know, like, you know, it, especially because with, and I'm, again, I'm not saying they are this way. I mean, by all accounts, they're, by all accounts, when they do meet fans, they're very, you know, very gracious and whatever. But it's also, but that's when they meet fans. It might, it's entirely possible that you go and it's the thing where like security whisks them in, they wave, and then security whisks them away. Where they're not rude as such, they're just not really there. I mean,
or and or you have the experience of you're, you know, under normal circumstances you would have the run of the ship because you are a paying customer of the ship, but then you find, oh, I'm sorry, no, you can't enter that lounge
no.
right now because Paul's having a drink.
Well, yeah, which I mean, which, you know, and it's already, the place is already so demarcated out by ticket price that if they had, it wouldn't surprise me if they did have some sort of like different areas of the ship or for different, you know, where I end up in steerage basically with yeah. whatever. And God, and plus also, let's just say the other thing that everybody is, that everybody's already weighed in. It's also not like unprecedented for something to be presented to you as Kiss. And I'm well aware that when you go there right now, it's like Eric Singer and Tommy Thayer instead of Peter, Chris and Ace Frehley. But it's not like it's without precedent for it to be, you know, presumably Gene and Paul, and then clearly it's neither of them, or one of them is just not there that day. There's that commercial that we played several times where it's like the Tooth Tunes thing, where it's like the toothbrush that plays. Have you heard the Tooth Tunes deal?
Yeah.
It's where, yeah, it plays Rock and Roll All Night while you're brushing. And it's like you watch the commercial, and there's a guy in demon makeup, and there's a guy in Star Child makeup. I'm pretty sure that that's Paul. There's no way that it's Gene. Like, in no way is that him, because he speaks, he says something, you know, like, Tooth Tunes, rock, brushing has never been this rockin' or whatever. And it's like, there's no way that it's him.
Well, we had that thing where I bought the, whatever it was, the Walk This Way scratcher
yeah.
ticket that, you know, tried to whiz up. But the ultimate prize would be also, you could win, like, a weekend partying with Aerosmith. And you read the fine print, and it's like, one member of yeah. Aerosmith is deemed will be there. So, and it could be like any guy who ever played with Aerosmith ever.
Yes. We've got the, let's see.
Tooth Dudes, the only toothbrush that puts 2 minutes of music in your mouth. And featuring Rock and Roll All Night from the new DVD collection by Kiss.
Tooth Dudes, brushing never rocked this hard.
Okay, that is not Gene Simmons.
No.
There's no way.
No, it's not.
Although you should note the music in the background is very, very obviously a thinly veiled ripoff of Lust for Life.
Tooth Dudes. The only toothbrush that puts 2 minutes of music in your mouth.
Yeah.
And featuring Rock and Roll All Night from the new DVD collection by Kiss.
Tooth Tunes. Brush.
What if I go and it's that guy?
Tooth Tunes.
And then, see, and then it's like, as you said, then it's a bad experience. But a bad experience that's, you know, $400 is one thing. Bad experience is like $4,000.
Yeah.
No, thank you. So, but you know, and
I will also opine that you were a small pasty man,
yeah.
and being on a cruise ship
in
going from Florida to the Caribbean,
wow. and you know, and again, I didn't really have to nag her or push her about it. It is, but it, she really is best wife ever, because she did, without too much of my like plaintive, but baby, it's Kiss. She did well if you want to, and it was sort of. But at the same time, I don't really want to push that. And plus, I can totally use this chit the next time I want to do that. I'd be like, well, I passed up that Kiss cruise because I could tell you didn't really want to go. So how about, you know, and then whatever.
Yeah, me personally, I loathe tropical climes with a passion. I hate being humid and hot. And so, you know, whenever people have talked to me, it's like, we're going to Club Med in like wherever. And I'm going, is that like an island
yeah.
place? Is it humid? No. Yeah, I when I worked for an offshoot of Qantas, and they flew us for free to Hawaii one weekend as, you know, a business deal that we had to walk around and tour a bunch of hotels and stuff. And it was like everyone's so excited about getting this free trip to Hawaii. And all I could just do is going,
so hot.
It's so hot and yeah. it's so sweaty and the air feels wet.
Yeah, no, that's, I mean, it's, it was like Lara, you know, she lived the first couple of years of her life in Florida. And, you know, so she, at some point, she keeps threatening to, like, take me back to St. Petersburg to, like, see where she grew up. And I'm already dreading that because I know it's like a billion degrees
oh,
when you
yeah.
step off
no,
the plane.
Florida is a hellhole. Same thing with New Orleans. I've been to New Orleans twice and once was in the summer. And it was just horrible. It was just a horrible, horrible place because, you know, as soon every building is super air conditioned. And then as soon as you walk out the door, it's 90 degrees and like 100% humidity.
Yeah, no.
So you're just slapped in the face with a hot, wet towel every time you walk outside.
Yeah, no, I'll pass. Now people are, Seamus is taunting me with, but what if you bumped into Gene while you're hanging around the pool and you guys had stuff in common and talked for hours and the whole cruise became like a Love Boat Fest, a Love Boat Best Friends episode and you exchanged emails and phone numbers and he told you he wanted to connect again when back on land, you might be missing out on your chance to be the best friend ever.
That is true.
Followed by, or his smoking hot daughter might be on board, who is now 19.
That also.
Yeah.
See, that's the gamble.
That's the downside. Yeah, I don't think, I think I'll pass. I don't think I'm going to. Yeah.
Kiss! Tooth two! Brushing never rocked this hard.
It's just stupid.
Dudes.
Before we do anything else, let me just say that the Rick Emerson Radio program, thank you, or his son if you're into that. Thank you, sir. Let's see. The Rick Emerson Radio program brought to you by Squires Electric. At 503-252-1609 or squireselectric.com. You can also go to facebook.com/squiresElectric. You can see some of the situations they have dealt with. You can see some of the things that have confronted them. And I mean, really, honestly, unless your whole house is just filled with mechanical death bots of some kind, it's not like you can present them with anything that. It's like going to the doctor. You're really not going to show them anything they haven't seen before. Probably. So, you know, when it comes time to get your house remodeled or revamped, you're going to be, you know, knocking on a wall or, you know, it's graduation time. So maybe your kids have skedaddled. You're going to be moving, turning the room into like, I don't know, a wet bar or a sewing room or something so they can't move back home. You want to make sure that all the wiring is taken care of because your walls fill with wiring. Always the one wall you don't think. You know, it's like you can never quite find the stud. Well, you can never quite know where the wiring is. And so you knock down a wall. Suddenly it's just sparking and flaring and zapping and burning and death. So you don't want to deal with that. You call Squires Electric at 503-252-1609 or squireselectric.com. It's squireselectric.com or facebook.com/squiresElectric. They are licensed, bonded, and insured electrical installers, contractors, and supervisors. Somebody says, hey, if you're going to be building a dungeon, you want to have that wired properly. Sure, that's true as well. If you have that sex dungeon going on, you need the wiring done properly for, you know, you know, for that thing that zaps your urethra, because you don't want to have that grounded properly, because otherwise, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. Not what? My urethra.
Well, not yours.
Oh, okay.
No. But if that's the sort of thing you're into, you want to make sure that, you know, that everything is up to code.
Wouldn't that just make you, no.
Make you?
Need to pee?
I don't know. I don't really know. I suppose we could probably find somebody. We could ask one of these hot chicks that likes to be zapped with a dog collar,
yeah.
I guess. It doesn't really seem like a thing that I would want, but no. I'm probably not the target demo for that. So, you know, what do I know? I don't even tweet pictures of my junk. So, clearly, there's a lot. I have a lot of adventuring still to learn. Well, let me ask you this. Was his thing of, like, having the online whatever with the chicks? And I'm glad we're not saying sexting with this story.
Yeah.
Was it all via Twitter?
I don't know.
I wonder if it was the rest of it was because, like, the thing is, how did they know
well,
it was
Facebook,
him?
Well, Facebook. There was a screen capture that I saw of a conversation he had with a woman via direct message in Facebook.
Was he saying, was it the Facebook for, like, Representative Anthony Weiner?
Yeah.
So it wasn't even, like, under a fake name?
Apparently not.
See, that's really the thing that his constituents ought to be pissed off about. He's not even bright enough.
Yeah, I think he had a personal one that he was using for stuff like that. But yeah, it also, I guess there were also just if you went to the main page, it was like, hey, I'm Representative Weiner. I'm a congressman.
I guess the Twitter thing was also like in his name, too. It was like BobWeiner.com or TonyWeiner.com. So that's really, if you're not bright enough to set up like a throwaway, you know, like a Hotmail account or. If people still use Hotmail, whatever it is that's taking
weirdly,
the place.
Weirdly, people do. Every once in a while, I'll get an
really?
Email address from Hotmail.
Yeah. Can I still get an Alta Vista account or like a Lycos account? That's what I want.
I believe you actually still have a Hotmail account.
I don't.
You? Oh, okay.
I don't think.
Because I thought when you bought something from me, from chocolates or something from me via PayPal, I think that was actually
no,
a Hotmail address.
No, I think that was Yahoo.
Oh, okay.
Unless I have a Hotmail account that is linked to, like, PayPal or something and I've forgotten all about it. And if that's the case, then that's the only reason that even exists, because I was sort of joking. I didn't really know that people still, because that's Microsoft, right? I think Hotmail
sure,
is Microsoft.
Yeah,
I remember
every once in a while I'll see one.
I used to use Hotmail and it was dreadful, just in every way. Well, in any event... What was I saying here? Wait.
I think it was about Squires Electric.
SquiresElectric.com is the website, or Facebook.com/SquiresElectric. It has to do with wires or wiring in your home or business. It can make your life easier. Squires Electric. Before we wrap everything up, don't forget tomorrow, Mr. Eric D. Snyder will be here for Legion of News and the Rick Emerson Radio Program. And then Ms. Anna Griffin, thrice weekly columnist from the Oregonian, is going to be joining us as well. Let's see. A couple of little brief notes. Don't text your penis to Squires. Quit saying that.
No, don't
please
do that.
Do not. JK, take it. Sons of bitches. Please, no one text your penis to Squires. Bits of business. This coming Sunday, you want to make a note to watch Outlook Portland. We're going to be talking to a woman named Alyssa Kale, who is from a place that I guess I've heard about, but I never really knew what it would have. I never really understood the whole width and breadth and depth and whatever the place, which is that scrap place that's on MLK.
Oh, yeah.
Which is
awesome.
See, and it's a thing that I sort of was aware of on some dim level, but I didn't realize that they moved to a much bigger facility. Do you know that Columbia Sportswear gave them, I swear to God, this is true, 70 pallets of zippers.
Wow.
That's a lot.
That is a lot of zippers.
So Aaron's wife, the lovely Jen, was talking because I interviewed Alyssa Kale, who was the manager of that whole place. And I'm not like, it's not like I'm saying I thought she was going to be a bad guest, but you just never know. It's like, what do I know from scrap?
Well, and for listeners who don't know, scrap is a place where basically it's part of this whole reuse, recycle sort of thing where companies, individuals, just people, just you could do it if you want to. We'll bring stuff to this place. Everything from, like I said, zippers to little plastic doodads to leftover paper to half-used crayons to old magazines. I mean, just there's just a myriad of things that can be used for art projects and stuff. A lot of teachers go there and get stuff.
That's where it started, apparently.
Yeah.
Was teachers wanted a place to give like half bottles of glue to when summer vacation came. Yeah. And so, yeah, nowadays.
And also places to go and get supplies cheap for their classrooms as well.
She also used, it's funny, she said the word doodads as well. She described them having post-industrial doodads. And I said, like what? And she said, well, like those big spools that like electrical cabling comes on, which had never really occurred to me. So they just sell like the weirdest, greatest collection of things. And anyway, but I just had no idea. But it ended up being a really fascinating show. So that's this coming Sunday on Outlook Portland. Plus, I just say this with all journalistic, professionalism. Plus, she's a looker. So
yeah, I didn't know that they'd moved. I haven't been there for a while, but they used to be located right next door to Rebuilders Center, which was perfect because Rebuilders Center is sort of the, working on your house
right.
version of what they do at Scrap.
She said they have a sort of a loose coalition of those guys and Scrap and Free Geek where they, sort of like know like, well, we don't have that, but let me tell you about this place that might. So that is coming up this Sunday. So you really, you do want to watch that. Let's see, what else? Are you doing your chocolate thing?
I am doing the chocolate thing. In fact, everything should be shipping out Wednesday, Thursday morning.
All right. So that is Polidori Chocolates.
Yeah.
.com.
Don't order anything for me right now. I'm very busy.
Never mind.
order something for me next week.
somebody says, and the reason I brought all this up was to answer. Let's see. Somebody says you're going to be doing future signings for the book. There's nothing on the horizon with that. Although I will tell you that to the handful of people that have ordered things and either sent them overseas or have purchased them from overseas, we are sort of scheming a way to get those signed. There's some people that we had a listener who lives in Kuwait and another guy in England who bought one and wanted to know how he could get it signed. So we are working on that. You can find out more about the book at zombieeconomics.com. You can order it there as well, or you can pick it up at Powell's or wherever it is you buy books. With that, let's see. I wanted to play a couple of these things before we close. I mentioned the Peter Carlin soundbites. So you were talking about how Peter has these sort of boyish good looks, but then occasionally just says the weirdest things, such as...
Bitches ain't nothing but hoes and tricks.
And it's like, I have no idea why he said that. And the best of my recollection is that he actually... just set it as the sign-off one day after doing a guest spot on the show, where it was literally for no reason, without any kind. He just said, right before I go, one other thing.
Bitches ain't nothing but hoes and tricks.
And then I think he just hung up the phone at that point, and maybe he might have cackled a little bit. Let's see, what else do we have here?
Yo, boy.
That's Peter Carlin saying that. We have...
What I'm trying to keep it is trill.
So this is the Peter Carlin soundboard.
Peter Carlin soundboard. Trying to keep it trill. We also have this.
Out the Derby lately, you should check it out. There's going to be a terrific championship bout.
And then he says...
Between the Breakneck Bettys and the High Rollers.
Wait.
And anyway, so I did this big story...
No, that's not it at all. I was looking for the was looking for the Peter Carlin whacking it sound. Hold on a second. Let me just... yeah, see, that's what everybody's up there. Play the whacking it sound. I'm doing my best here. Let's see if I can find that real quickly. Carlin whacking. All right. Is that this here? I guess there's only way to find that. Let's try this. All right. This is the Peter Carlin whacking it sound, I believe. Let's see if I can get this to play. I really ought to make these into an actual soundboard. So if I can.
It's going to be a terrific championship bout between the breakneck Bettys and the high rollers. And anyway, so I did this big story. It's going to run in the O.
No. I must have just lost it. I must have just lost the Peter Carlin. The Peter Carlin. That's the sound of me. That's the sound of me whacking it. Hold on a second. Let me look one more time. No, I've got nothing. But what I do have is this right here.
I was doing that thing where you stick your fingers in the hole and kind of diddle around the thing that hangs inside.
There you go. That's all I got.
What exactly was he referring to?
I don't know is the thing. I have no...
I was doing that thing where you stick your fingers in the hole and kind of diddle around the thing that hangs inside.
See, it's like, and I'm sure there's some perfectly, as Velma would say, some perfectly reasonable explanation for that. I just don't really know. I don't really know what it is. I couldn't really tell you. Couldn't tell you what that explanation actually is. So there you go. All right. The end. All right. So forth. All right. The Rick Emerson Show is now ending as of, now.
Okay.
All right. We will be back again tomorrow. We'll be joined by Mr. Eric D. Snyder and for Don Taylor tomorrow in Legion of News and the Rick Emerson Show. Also, Ms. Anna Griffin from The Oregonian will be here and so forth. The Rick Emerson Show comes to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the Milkpacking District here in glorious Southeast Portland, Oregon. At the news desk, Don Taylor, advanced technology, magic provided by Mr. Thomas Gill, executive producer Bruce Agler, and the chief of staff, Cheryl Kanakoa. Thank you all for listening, and we will have an encore of Legion of News and an encore of this very fine radio program next after a brief musical interlude. It is Tuesday, June 7th, 2011, and that is the frequency. Kenneth Skill tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Bye now.